Tonight on the eve of GDC, Valve announces that they too are joining the VR scene with HTC by revealing the Vive headset for release later this year. We'll tell you more about the weekend gaming news along with your comments, feedback, and calls right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live with our 589th episode for this March the 1st of 2015. My name is Rob Roberts, or Sky on Twitter, S-K-I-E. Joining me as always, my co-host, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Grant.
And Techmaster Loki is here as well.
Yes.
All right. I want to start tonight, kind of address something that I think is on a lot of people's minds this week. Let's go to a clip. I don't usually do this, but I want to play a clip here at the top of the show.
Wait, Xehanort. There is a reason the precepts bar us from such knowledge. Why do you seek the Keyblade? Would you blanket all the worlds in darkness? Reduce them to nothing?
But darkness did cover the world once, in legend. We know so little about the Keyblade War. Only that it was just the beginning. Amidst that crisis, a precious rite was found. It is a curious tale, and one worth exploring. They say ruin brings about creation. So what then would another Keyblade War bring? When the darkness falls, will we be found worthy of the precious light the legend speaks of? I must have these answers. The Keyblade needs to be forged, and with it, the door to the Keyblade War unlocked.
So obviously there, that is the great Leonard Nimoy, who, as I'm sure all of you know by now, passed away on Friday at the age of 83. You know, obviously, Leonard Nimoy didn't contribute as much to video gaming probably as he did in the worlds of movies, in the worlds of literature, and some other places, but he definitely had a presence in video gaming. Not only, of course, with his role that he had there in Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, Kingdom Hearts 3D, Dream Drop Distance, assumably Kingdom Hearts 3... if those parts have already been recorded or not, we don't know. But also Civilization IV. You might not have known this, but he was the narrator in Civilization IV.
He also is a big voice in Star Trek Online.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first you hear in the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, you have some information on some things going on in Star Trek Online about Mr. Nimoy, right?
Later on, I think.
And isn't he like...
What's that?
Wasn't he part of Seaman?
Yeah, of course. How could we forget? Of course, he is. He is the narrator in Seaman. That was actually the first game that he was a part of, was Seaman, doing the narrator and all of that. So some of those great clips we've played on the show previously.
Well, in Star Trek Online, they're actually going to be putting a big monument to him in the game. Mm-hmm. But lately, everyone's been converging at Vulcan to pay their respects. Mm-hmm. Since Star Trek Online is basically the old school Star Trek universe without the divergence of the movie. Mm-hmm. So it's what continued happening after the movie verse split off. Mm-hmm. So Vulcan still exists.
Right.
So yeah, big thing there. I actually re-upped my account over there.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't get a chance to log in because the servers were so crazy busy. Mm-hmm. So I actually couldn't get into the game.
It seems like a lot of people maybe want to revisit Star Trek Online because of this news. And, you know, I know sometimes it's kind of weird to, like, really mourn these celebrities who pass away because, you know, it's not like you knew them in real life. But I kind of think with Leonard Nimoy, I think to anybody who considers themselves a geek, Leonard Nimoy probably in some part played a part in that because he had his hands in so much of geek culture and he embraced that geek culture despite what everybody said about his first bibliography, the I Am Not Spock, which was all a misunderstanding anyway. He didn't, you know, ever really reject that. You know, just obviously through Star Trek, which so many geeks grew up with in one way or another, but as well as video games and some of these other awesome things he did. Darkstalker, you were saying that when you think of Leonard Nimoy, you think of something completely different, right?
Well, I mean, I always think of Star Trek, but he was Galvatron in the mm-hmm. Transformers movie mm-hmm. that came out in 80-something, 86. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing. I mean, that movie also had Orson Welles in it. So you've got, and Robert Stack, isn't he dead too?
I think so. I think so, he did Beth
at least three of the actors in that movie.
Robert Stack is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So
he was Ultra Magnus and Orson Welles was in there.
So I mean, and I talked a little bit about this on Horde House this week, but because we had the news that, you know, he was ill. And I remember him a lot from these. I feel like a lot of my love of space is thanks in part to Leonard Nimoy, because I remember I had these videos growing up when I was a kid, and they were like educational short films, but they were just, you know, they're really cool and would explain things about the planets and, you know, what we knew out there in the solar system at the time in the 80s when Pluto was still a planet, y'all.
It's a planet again.
Pluto, is it a planet again?
They're working on it.
It will always be a planet in my heart, to be honest. But, you know, Leonard Nimoy narrated those videos. And I think he was really big on education and that as well. You saw him in a lot of educational initiatives as well. Again, a way that he played into our childhood.
Well, another thing for me, too, is that he was actually, I guess, not necessarily a big pivotal reason why I converted to Judaism. Mm-hmm. But learning about his Jewish roots mm-hmm. definitely inspired me. Mm-hmm. Especially learning that the live long and prosper thing that I can only do with one hand is actually from the priestly benediction in an Orthodox temple.
Right.
And he did Yiddish theater. Mm-hmm. He's fluent in Yiddish. I grew up speaking it. He was in productions of Fiddler on the Roof. Mm-hmm. And it was his Star Trek fame, you know, that when he went back to doing theater after,
yeah,
that actually really pushed the genre of Yiddish theater back into the fore.
I'm going to really hope that none of my coworkers are listening, because I'm about to out my boss as a closet Trekkie, although that's something you should never be ashamed of, in my opinion. But when I got the news that Leonard Nimoy passed away, I went to talk to my boss about it, because I knew mm-hmm. she was big on Star Trek. Like, she used to do a lot of the, you know, super nerd stuff that I'm doing now. And she was sharing stories about meeting Leonard Nimoy years ago and seeing him in theater, where a particular play where he was playing Van Gogh's brother. So, you know, he was much more versatile than just Spock.
Van Gogh's brother is the only person who bought any of his work. But yeah. But no, just the fact that he in and of himself had a big love of fantasy. I mean, we're not going to talk about the Song of Bilbo Baggins, but, you know. But I mean, on top of that, there, you know, he contributed so deeply to the arts. He actually, it was a big continuous contributor to various artistic foundries, as well as to an ongoing Yiddish theater, mm-hmm. A few Yiddish theater societies. Mm-hmm. So he's done a lot more for the public arts than people might think.
I'm going to our chat room. Of course, we do tape live. I haven't said it yet, but we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And if you are listening live, you can, of course, head over to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. And obviously, many, many people taking a moment to remember some parts of Leonard Nimoy's career and the effect that it had on them. SSJ100 Matt saying, saddest part of my week. Fifth Dream, I posted some stuff of him as Galvatron the other day, and the intro to Seaman. Of course, a few people in there, Ragenator, remembering the whole I'll friend your butt joke, which, you know, might seem tasteless at a time like this. However, I think humor is a great way many of us cope with a lot of different tragedies. Brad from Pod Culture letting us know Star Trek Online has got one hell of a graphics upgrade since the last time I logged in. Act Def saying Leonard Nimoy is a legend. Tiger Claw, Leonard Nimoy was the voice of Sentinel Prime in Transformers Dark of the Moon. Oh, and Michael Bay was related to him. SSJ100 Matt saying Nimoy was
hold that against him.
Nimoy was such a monumental figure in the geek nerddom. He was never a vain or jerk celeb and was cool to the fans. He was a classy guy on and off the screen. Absolutely. I mean, all those things, I think, contribute to him. I think too, because so many celebrities we see out there, you see the whole, like, oh, they had to go to rehab, or they're on their seventh marriage, or, you know, they got caught at some party doing something nasty. You know, like Leonard Nimoy never got really caught up in any of that.
He was kind of above that. A party watching Star Wars.
Yeah, right. what's going to happen next? They're going to let the same guy direct Star Trek and Star Wars? What's up with that? So, I want to take a moment here to just acknowledge, as I'm sure many of you are thinking of Leonard Nimoy this weekend and maybe the impact he had on your life, and not only his contributions to movies and television and literature, but just, you know, reminding y'all, he did work with games too. He was a huge part of video games. I consider Civilization IV to be one of the greatest games of the last decade. So, and he's a big part of that. And of course, Star Trek Online, a hugely popular MMO. And of course, I know many, many, many of y'all like Kingdom Hearts. You may not have played the games that are not one or two, but I mean, these
I
side
honestly
games,
never knew he was in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I think a lot. I don't think I a stopped, lot of people did.
I stopped midway through the first one, so
yeah.
Of course,
so. But you have memories of Leonard Nimoy too, I'm sure, somewhere, right?
Yeah, I watched Star Trek,
of course. So, anyhow,
so we have to change the fortune cookie because Brad asked us to.
We'll get to that at the end of the show.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I will just mention real quick too. I think this is an important note. Leonard Nimoy passed away because of complications related to smoking. He didn't smoke at the end of his life. In fact, he'd quit for many, many years. But some of the damage that he'd done over the years kind of came back to get him. So, you know, if you are a fan of Leonard Nimoy and you're somebody out there who happens to be a smoker, I'm somebody who used to smoke. I smoked in the past, so I don't want to, like, talk down to anybody. Certainly not what I want to do, and I kind of understand some of the struggles, and I understand, you know, the stress relief that comes with that and so forth. But I do want to take this moment to say, you know, maybe now is the day to make a change. Maybe today's the day you're going to quit, or you're going to try something new to quit, or you're going to do something that will extend your own life so that hopefully you don't, you know, end up with this that you had to learn from watching Leonard Nimoy go through it. So, again, I'm not, like, trying to be, like, talking down or parental, but I just feel like this is something that maybe we could turn a very negative thing into a positive thing. And if I knew that maybe this little rant would make one person maybe stop, then I'd be like, totally worth it, totally worth it. So just wanting to put that out there for people. Anyway, let's move on. We move on. There's a lot, actually not as much going on in the gaming world this week as there have been in previous weeks, but we are on the heels of GDC, PAX East coming up this week, and there are a few things we want to get into. So we will move on. We carry on with the week in gaming news, and we're going to start it off, as we always do, talking about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I played a little Star Trek Online, of course. Well, tried to. I played Final Fantasy XIV so I could show up for the La La Twerk wedding. That was the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. The Eternal Bonding Ceremony in Final Fantasy, it's seriously like the hokiest hoke that ever hoked. Like, oh, we're going to have wings and fly into the air and smooch. Fuck. That's just ridiculous. Becky was watching over my shoulder. And she was like, what the hell is this? Like, and then she was like, that chapel is really over the top.
I'm really upset you did not enjoy my twerking down the aisle, too. Since there's no flower girl or ring bearer built into the game, I felt like, and the folks that were getting married, it was a bro wedding last night. And, you know, the whole theme was over the top. I mean, so as if the ceremony itself and the game is not already over the top. You know, we were doing it.
I was fine with that part. Uh-huh. It was the ceremony that was so no, stupid.
I noticed.
I was like, the hell stupid is this? And so I just walked, and everyone was like, we're running around in Speedos. I was like, that's great. But I liked the people who were running around in the leopard spotted Speedos. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm just going to be cute and wear the yukata and have my little chocobo chick hanging around.
I wore a yukata to the last wedding I went to in game, so.
But I'm still trying to convince someone to be my eternal bond mate just for shits and giggles.
Just to do
so
it.
So that we can afford a house.
There you go.
Because it's the only way you can. And then I played, of course, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
which I'm still kind of slowly going through it, but Becky and I were, because Becky doesn't really like the games, but she likes the characters in it because I've introduced her to them, at least as far as my impression is. So basically it was just me walking around making inappropriate comments outside of the game about Cullen's butt. And then there was that picture on Tumblr that looked like the Showgirls poster, which makes me have to draw Cullen like the Showgirls poster now. Just
wow.
Saying.
Wow. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Speaking of awkward, Bobby Blackwolf's in our chat room. He was not able to do a show tonight, unfortunately, because he's recovering from being sick, but he's able to listen. And he says, Dark Sakura, that chocobo head at the end was fabulous. He was also at that wedding last night in game. And one of the grooms last night wore a chocobo head as the ceremony was ending. And it's that really cheesy scene. Well, you might have logged out. You might have missed it because I think you logged out right before. But it's when they actually get onto the two-person chocobo mount and actually like ride off.
Oh, yeah. I missed that. I was hanging out with Becky. So
Sure. You don't want to you don't want to ignore IRL for in-game stuff no matter what it is.
Well, I'm going to be at another wedding, I guess, this week in game.
Oh, that's right. I have to miss that one. Yeah, two other guildies.
I might not be able to stay up for the whole thing because I have to be at work early in the stupid morning.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But now I love that because Gold Saucer is in Final Fantasy XIV, it's a great place for after parties for the weddings. It's
I
like
haven't
going to
been to Gold Saucer yet.
Oh, yeah, check it out. It's great.
I'm actually still working on building up my thing with the cat people. The violet cat people, the Amalja.
I'm trying to. Oh, the Amalja. Yeah. That's where you get who? What mount do you get from them? You get the little
lizard thing.
Yeah, from them. So
yeah, I'm on working on recognized with them right now. So
nice. I will point out though, you only have to be level 15 to go to Gold Saucer. So a lot of people in 14 checking that out. Yeah. So all right. So that's it for your gaming week. Then we will go on to Loki. Loki, how was your gaming week?
My gaming week was pretty much just working on my game. Although I did play, and it's so funny because actually, I think I played this last week too, but I completely forgot about it. So I've been playing a little bit of Saints Row Get Out of Hell. And it's really at this point, I'm done with the game. I have 100% as far as like the missions go and all the activities. I'm just doing all this stupid grindy shit. So I was working on some of that, and it just is so boring because it's just grindy stuff to get the last few trophies, but I just don't want to do it anymore. So I play it for a while, and then I'm like, okay, this is boring. I shut it off. And it's really, like, it's sad because I'm only, like, 12 hours in the game, and I've almost completely beat everything 100%. I mean, I have beat everything 100%, but now I just have to do that, like, you know, get 500 kills with this weapon, get 500 kills with this weapon, get 500 kills with this one. It's like, you know, that dumb shit. But I don't know. So that was pretty much it. I'm just working on my game.
All right. Well, good luck as you continue that work on your game.
Yep.
For me, I got sucked back into 14, Final Fantasy 14, Something Fierce this week. I won't double talk a lot of the stuff that Dark Sakura already talked about. But since I have done the Gold Saucer, I will mention they did a pretty good job with it. If you didn't know, Final Fantasy 14 patched in the Gold Saucer this week, its own version of it, but greatly inspired by Final Fantasy 7's Gold Saucer. They have these silly little mini games that are, they're really nothing. They're just little throwaways, but fun little, like, okay, spend a point or like a ticket. It's another form of currency that's in the game to just do this little press the button when it's right in the center. And if you do it right, you might get 2 points or 5 points, depending on how well you do. So it's kind of cute that they put that, you know, all these little sub mini games. But then the two big highlights of Manderville Gold Saucer are Triple Triad is in the game now, which is pretty cool that, I mean, they built it. It feels a lot like it does in 8. I mean, it looks a little smaller because it's like a window that comes up on the screen, but you can play the full-out Triple Triad, and you get a starter deck, and you can challenge NPCs to try to get their cards. Or as you run dungeons and old content especially and do primal fights, you get cards there as well. The good news is, too, you don't lose cards like you did in Final Fantasy VIII, so it makes it a lot easier to build up a deck. So that's really cool. And then Chocobo Racing is in the game, which looks great. The controls are a little funky. Left and right doesn't really turn left and right. It's more like using a left lane or a right lane. And then, like, all accelerate does is you want to accelerate up to the point where your chocobo is starting to get exhausted, and then you want to stop so you don't waste all your stamina. So, I mean, there's kind of, you know, it's a little bit clunky in the controls. But it still looks really nice, and it's still kind of fun to check out. So Chocobo Racing is a
worthy addition. They need to put Chocobo Racing as in the kart racing
right?
in the game.
That's what I was really hoping for, because, man, the PlayStation 1 version was so good. But I understand that's going to take a lot of work in a different way, and maybe something like that is just too difficult to build in the engine. I'm happy with what they did give
that
us.
That is disappointing that it would be too difficult to build into the engine. I guess they'll just have to make a standalone game then.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that logic. That is totally fine with me, honestly. So, love that. So there you go. I've also been playing a lot of Diablo 3. This week, as the seasons are continuing, Alan is already up to like Paragon 130 something. I don't know, like it's a really high level, and I'm working on it too. I'm up to Paragon 80 something on my monk. I've been just doing some rifts, trying to get some better gear, wishing that blood shard lady would give me a set helm already. Rawr. But yeah, just making my way on Diablo 3. Other than those two games, honestly, it hasn't been an awful lot. Yesterday, I went on a day trip with Flacco Jones and Shane. We went to go see Extiver from Horde House, who lives in the Bay Area. So we went on a day trip over there. And I will say, we played board games while we were there. We don't talk about board games enough on this program, which, I'm sure there are board game podcasts out there, and there's probably plenty you could say about board games and card games. I think there's a lot that ties into video games, after all. Many great board and card games become a video game at some point, and many great video games also become a board game at some point. In fact, Dark Sakura, at a store in Berkeley yesterday, I saw the Mass Effect Risk game, and I thought about it.
Yeah.
I kind of want it.
$50, isn't it?
It's $50. They changed the board completely. It looks very different, but I still kind of wanted it. But anyway, we played board games. We played The Resistance, which is kind of the wolf game that you play at Dragon Con, or I'm sure many conventions, as a card game. Like, it's just a little different. But that's a lot of fun. Because, if you play with a group of friends, you get all into it. And, I, of course, was the spy in both games. And, somebody figured it out, but luckily the other people wouldn't listen to him, and I won both times. Beam. We also played the DC deck building game, something like that. It's like a card game, but you're building your deck, and it was all DC heroes and things. Like, I would get I think Cyborg was the hero that I was playing, and I think Alan was playing as the Flash. And so yeah, that was a fun game. I like those games where you kind of start with a very small deck, and then you build up more and more cards to try to get enough points to win. I know Dominion is a huge game like that, too. I've played that before, and that was a lot of fun. So, William Murderface in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com says, "Need some betrayal at House on the Hill in my life. Good stuff." I played that one 2 weeks ago with Flacco and his wife and Shane, and that game's a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite board games right now. That's a great one, too, if you haven't played that. So there you go. I played a lot of board games this week. It's like video games without the video. So there you go. Let's get into some housekeeping real quick, and then we'll get into what news is going on this week. For housekeeping, I will say, of course, as always, follow us on Twitter, please. Twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. As a reminder, guys, we will not be here next week. There is no OLR here next week. It will not be live, nor will it be podcast. There will be nothing. We will be back on March 15th. And the reason for that, of course, is that, as I've mentioned on previous shows, I will be going to PAX East, and my flight home is Sunday night, so there's no way. I don't get back into San Francisco until 11:30, which is well after the show is already over. So there will be no show live or on the podcast next week, but I hope you guys all have a great week. I'm sure there will be lots of news and things to discuss that come out of PAX, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks on episode 590 on March 15th. So there you go. All right, let's get into some news. Gaming news. Again, a little bit of a quieter week, but a few things to talk about worthy of our time this week. Loki.
So they made an announcement regarding Fable Legends that it's going to be a free-to-play game on Xbox One and PC. So that's kind of cool, because I wouldn't have bought it anyways. But I'm glad to hear that it'll be free-to-play, I guess. So maybe I'll check it out if my PC can run it. Since Windows 10 is supposed to be free, maybe? Is it supposed to be? Yeah, it's supposed to be free, so I'll have to check it out. I'm wondering, though, how they're going to do the microtransactions in the game. So that'd be kind of interesting. Now, the other thing, though, is they're saying that it does require Xbox Live Gold if you're on Xbox One to play it. Unlike, I think, don't the free-play games on PlayStation Network don't require that? At least on PlayStation 3, I think. I don't know. But, well, I guess we'll have to wait and find out some more information. I think this is coming out later this year.
I'm surprised at the free-to-play news about this, because it didn't seem like one when we saw it at E3 last year. So this is a bit of a surprise.
I know that Molino doesn't have much to do with this, but I'm kind of glad it's free-to-play.
Well, I mean, he has really nothing to do with it at this point.
I understand that, but like, a lot of the Fable Games have been kind of a letdown, especially after 2.
Yeah, 2 was great, and then 3 was
And then Kinect,
Yeah, right.
It's not on rails.
Well, I would like to see perhaps just a Fable 4 at some point.
That would be
great.
Cool.
You know, especially to maybe kind of go back to some of the things that worked with 2 and, you know, with the Xbox One technology and so forth, even though Molyneux wouldn't be involved at this point, likely. I mean, I would hope that they can bring enough talent. I'm sure they can bring in talent to, you know, still make a worthy game of the Fable title. But not to belittle this game. It's kind of weird that it's free to play at this point, but it's also kind of like, okay, I'll for sure play it now.
Yeah, it was also kind of a stranger. I mean, and kind of with that, you know, the free to play model to it, is that going to be more of like an MMO now, or is it going to be more of just like, you know, it's a free to play kind of single co-op type game? You know, that's what I'm kind of interested to find out, I guess.
Bobby Blackwolf pointing out in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com that it's on a case-by-case basis if free-to-play games require the Plus subscription or not on both systems. So, Raginator pointing out, too bad Fable 2 isn't available on Steam. Those comments over at live.vognetwork.com. So,
2 was good. My wife hated 3.
Well, I mean, but this one is not going to be related to those games at all, really, except in name, right? I mean, it's a totally different type of game. So, I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot in a way. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bad. It's just, it's not necessarily going to be good either. It's kind of a...
It looked more of like a, I don't know, just kind of a co-op, you know, like almost like 4-on-1, because they have
the first... that whole thing again. Yeah,
why is everyone doing the 4-on-1 thing? I mean,
we said that at E3 last year, like games are coming out.
I understand, though, that, like, you know, Evolve did it and stuff like that, and I don't even know if people are still really interested in that game, because I mean, it looked interesting, it looked like a neat idea, but I just think with everybody doing that all of a sudden, it's just kind of like, eh.
Well, I think what happened with Evolve was the DLC stuff really turned a lot of people off. You know, despite whatever they've said about it, despite how good the standalone package may be, I think the fact that there was so much DLC at the start, and the fact that there is no single player mode in it at all, I think those kind of turned some people off.
What would be good, you know, with the 4-on-1 thing, is to have like some sort of like Dungeons and Dragons type game where one person, that one, is the DM and the other people are the people running the game. And that would be pretty cool, I think.
Was that Neverwinter Nights?
Maybe? Was that Neverwinter Nights?
Sort of.
I just call that D&D.
Well, I understand that, but I'm talking about like a video game. I understand that, yes, it's fun to imagine and do all the rolling and stuff like that, but like, let's just streamline it down and make it a little bit more accessible for people that don't want to, that are going to be too encumbered by trying to learn all the rules and everything.
Like, that's what they did with D&D 4th edition, which is why it sucks.
So maybe they shouldn't. Well, keep in mind, 4v1 is not necessarily new to 2015 either. I mean, I think part of the reason a lot of people wanted to get on board with it is go back and remember how frickin' awesome Pac-Man Versus was. And the Wii U brought a few versions of that to Nintendo Land as well. What the Mario Chase and the Animal Crossing games are.
I bet you
like
we'll
that.
See a new Nintendo Land this year.
You really think?
I think so.
I wouldn't have thought Nintendo Land would be up for a sequel. I would think they would try to make the magic happen again with Wii Sports, one way or another.
Maybe.
I'm well aware that there is Wii Sports was released on the Wii U, but some
it's
type
not
of
really, you know, new. It's just kind of just ported Wii Sports, you know.
Yeah.
Wii Sports HD, whatever. Yeah.
It's only the biggest video game of all time ported to the Wii U.
Yeah, it's because they, you know, were innovative for a short, brief period of time and you know, had a pretty decent game to go along with that. They just need to recapture that fire, though.
Many people in chat chiming in about Neverwinter Nights, saying Bobby Blackwell saying Neverwinter Nights 2 didn't really have that, but Neverwinter Nights 1 had that. Let's see. Bobby also saying he's got a lot of chat comments tonight. Bobby saying, I guess when he couldn't do his own show, he's got a lot to say in chat. Bobby saying Pac-Man Versus on GameCube, best party game ever. Too bad it kind of took a lot to get that game up and running, but man, those GameCube, Game Boy Advance games were a real fun party when you had everything to make it happen. Like Zelda Four Swords was so much fun, as was even the Final Fantasy game, even though it was a little more complex, I think, to just kind of plug and play at a party. I still think that was a lot of fun if you get people who are into it to play. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, so there you go. Going to be a free-to-play 4v1 game. I'll certainly check it out now that it's going to be free. I don't even have to ask that question. Do I spend the money? Don't I spend the money? Especially after last week's news where Shadow Realms got canceled. Well, Loki, there you go. There's one of those 4v1 games that's not happening now. So I guess some are unfortunately falling because there's just too many of them out there.
I
would have liked to see what they come up with. But I also have a weak spot for BioWare. I'll openly admit that. I do. Anyhow, I also have a weak spot for this series, as do a lot of you. Dragon Quest. Good news, guys. A Dragon Quest game is coming westward. Sadly, it's not Dragon Quest X for the Wii U or something, but this will still be pretty cool nevertheless. Dragon Quest Heroes will be coming to PlayStation 4, interesting, in North America and Europe later this year, both via retail and digital download. And of course, Square Enix will be selling it on their own online store. The PlayStation 4 will obviously have the high-definition graphics and all the characters that you know that are designed, like the little blue slime, right?
So is this the one that's supposed to be like Dynasty Warriors or something?
I have not really played this game myself, but I believe that's kind of how it is. It's not...
Maybe not.
It's not a main quest game. It's one of the, obviously, because it's not a numbered one. It's more of a side game. But I think it's a little more action-oriented because of
maybe
that.
Maybe that's not the same one I'm thinking. I thought they had one because they did Hyrule Warriors, and then they were doing one that was like, I think, you know, Dragon Quest characters and kind of like a Hyrule Warriors style.
Yeah,
game.
I think it's more like Hyrule Warriors than it is an actual Dragon Quest game. Akuma JP, who I know lives in Japan, and so has definitely already played Dragon Quest Heroes, I'm sure, says Dragon Quest Heroes sucks ass. Ooh, maybe
unfortunate.
That is unfortunate hearing that. Why would you port a crappy game? I mean, granted, that's just one person's opinion. Other people may feel differently, but still, you know, you might be wondering why this and not Dragon Quest X. Dark Tetsuya saying, though, well, if Dragon Quest Heroes is anything like Hyrule Warriors, it might be a fun game. You know, Hyrule Warriors starting to show us a real vast amount of depth, but we'll get into that later in the show. I know something else is coming up on Hyrule Warriors later in the show. So, there you go. I'll still... It kind of depends how much they're going to charge for this. That's one thing I don't think they said in the release. I'm trying to see if it's in the...
Maybe a demo?
A demo would be great. Something to let me know if I'm really going to like it or not before I drop that kind of money on it. Yeah, no day or date yet. So we'll see. If this maybe is more of a budget title, although I kind of doubt it. So
you pay the Square Enix premium.
Yeah, right? Like we're going to be doing with Type Zero, which is, you know, buying a PSP game that's been tinkered with and now will be on the PlayStation 4. But I do really want to play that game. Not even just for the Final Fantasy 15 demo, but I mean, obviously that's a big part of it. But with Type Zero, I'm just excited.
What is that even about? I mean,
music is so good.
But is Type Zero like tied in with 13? I
think
it.
I think that whole universe kind of got split up. But yeah, I think it at one time did. So, But I'm still want to check it out. We'll see. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, a few big names out there have put out that there was going to be a Final Fantasy Mystic Quest HD remake, but Squeenix is like, that's crap. Basically, the official statement says we are aware of the Final Fantasy Mystic Quest HD remake project and can confirm that it is not a Square Enix project nor endorsed by Square Enix in any way. Basically, it was that a group called Dark Design Games
has been going around the basically saying, oh yeah, we're going to be making this game and, you know, spreading the word. And they're actually, the head of the company, Jake Jackson, was saying, we just crossed our wires. Square Enix Europe has endorsed it, you know, so I think that he's trying to pull off some kind of scam or trying to, I don't know, get a little bit of attention, but Square Enix officially said it's not true. And basically, if the game is released, it is definitely unlicensed and a violation of their copyright.
Mm-hmm. Why would you want to remake Mystic Quest anyway? Besides the music. The music was great.
Hell, if I know.
That aside, the game itself was a little weak. You know,
it was like Final Fantasy for 5-year-olds.
Well, and that was the point. Well, it was Final Fantasy for Americans. That was the point, really, behind it. Let's do an entry-level RPG for the big, stupid Americans.
And it wasn't even really a Final Fantasy game to begin with.
No, it really wasn't. It didn't even really...
Hold on, I'm going to figure out which one it was.
Maybe some of the spell names and things came from Final Fantasy, but that's really it. I mean, it was so... I actually own this. My mom knew I loved Final Fantasy, so she knew that it also wasn't a game that was filled with gore and blood and stuff like that. So when she saw Final Fantasy Mystic Quest came out, she got it for me for like my birthday or something.
Yeah,
and I was
actually,
like,
it was a Final Fantasy game.
What?
It was a Final Fantasy. The Final Fantasy Mystic Quest came out in Japan as Final Fantasy USA Mystic Quest.
Yeah.
Fantasy stupid US edition.
Final Fantasy dumb Americans.
Yeah, this actually was completely not... Yeah.
I believe it was a game developed in Japan for the U.S., which was what made it kind of unique in a way. But again, soundtrack was stellar. If you're going to play the game for no other reason, the soundtrack's great. It was not Nobuo Uematsu. It was somebody else, but it's great. Some of the songs are in Theatre Rhythm, which is one of the ways to kind of remember it now. So, ActDeft in chat over at live.vognetwork.com saying, hey, Final Fantasy Mystic Quest is cool. Don't diss it. I guess it had its moments, but it was so linear. Like, you think Final Fantasy 13 was bad. Final Fantasy Mystic Quest was actually linear. You were on the world map was lines that you followed to, and you would go to a battlefield where you'd have to just do 10 battles back to back, and then you'd clear that battlefield. And of course, all the hit points were represented visually, because here in America, we don't know numbers. We only know meters. So there were some silly aspects to the game. But again, the music, fantastic. So Dungeon Buster saying, it's Final Fantasy Casual Quest. ActDef saying, I'm a dumb Mexican and I love it. Let's see. Yeah, those are some comments from our chat room. Rama saying, Secret of Evermore was so much better than Mystic Quest. I
have that game.
I support that. I think Secret of Evermore got so much shit, and I think it was a way better game than people give it credit for. I understand why, because of the fact that we got that and not Second Densetsu 3. So I understand why the frustration is there, but like that game didn't deserve to be like a one and done for Square USA, you know?
Yeah.
Jeremy Soleil, that was like the very first game soundtrack he ever did. Mm. And now he's gone on to do Elder Scrolls, like his big thing, right? Guild Wars, all that big stuff.
Yep.
So, you know. Anyway, all those other Square Enix games, besides the ones in the main series, lots of news on those tonight. Let's move on with some more news, Loki.
So Microsoft is putting on sale the 1-year subscription for Xbox Live. They're dropping it to $40 a year instead of $60. Although, you know, everyone's thinking, oh, they're trying to undercut Sony, but it's actually supposed to be temporary discount. But I wonder though if it's going to be a temporary discount like the system discounts were, and then they weren't so temporary. So I'm wondering if, you know, they'll do something similar like that. It'd be nice. I just don't think they're going to do that. And let's be honest, a lot of people weren't paying $60 for gold anyways for a year. You could buy it for 40 a lot of places,
like during Black Friday sales and stuff.
Not even, just like all the time it's discounted, like on Amazon and just wherever.
What do you think might be the strategical reasons for Microsoft to do that? Is it some type of competition with PlayStation? Because isn't PlayStation, what, $50 for a year?
Yeah.
So now not only are they no longer more expensive, but they kind of undercut them in a way, right?
Yeah, maybe just trying to see if that brings a boost in, you know, sales or something. Maybe just subscriptions, increases the amount of subscriptions. Mm.
I worry, though, and not to be too tinfoil hat or, you know, angsty gamer type of thing, but I just want to throw this out there. And I've talked in the past before about how, like, double dipping on the Xbox is going to piss me off. Like, if I have to pay one fee through Xbox Live to play the game online, and then I'm going to have to pay a second fee through the game maker to have to play something online. Like, that's like double dipping, right?
Yeah.
And I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, people, but I don't believe PlayStation does this with their MMOs like Final Fantasy 14. I do not believe you have to have PlayStation Plus to do Final Fantasy 14.
According to what Bobby was saying earlier, it's on a case-by-case basis,
right. So, and I'm trying to remember what game it was where I was like, they better not have a fee to do online because then that's double dipping because you're going to have to pay once for Xbox Live and then you're going to have to pay another fee through whoever the game maker is. And I can't remember at the time what
Elder Scrolls Online?
Maybe? I don't know. But I wonder if the reduction in price for Xbox Live is to make double dipping less offensive, if that makes sense. Then maybe some of that's coming, that they'll make that $20 or the publishers will make that $20 in other ways. Again, I am admittedly being negative about this, but I feel like I have to ask that question. Like, well, what's the real reason behind this?
Well, the other thing I'm thinking is maybe it's because they're thinking, I honestly don't think it's very long term anyways. I think it's just the boost sales right now because it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a very sparse time of the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe it's just to help boost sales a little bit, just, you know, an experiment. They can try it and see what happens. I don't know if it's going to be necessarily something that they drop the price because they're thinking, hey, we're gonna get people on Windows 10 to pay the subscription fee for games as well, which let me start off there by saying I think that's really stupid to do on PC, to pay a subscription to play games online on PC.
Oh, God. Hackers will find a way around that in seconds. I hope Microsoft isn't banking on making money with that. Hackers will work around that in seconds.
I just, you know, because that's, you know, what they're saying, I think, with Fable, the new Fable game, is that you think you have to have gold to play that.
Oh, then it's not really free to play, is it?
But then I think that's just on consoles, though, right now. But I'm just saying, right now, you know, I understand it's on consoles currently, It could very well move over to all platforms, like you play, you know, for PlayStation Plus or whatever, right. And you get it on, you know, all your PlayStation consoles. But maybe now that they're having Windows 10 as being this whole platform thing that you pay for it on Windows 10, and I don't know. I think it'd be hard to sell that, but I could see them maybe offering other services through that. Perhaps.
Okay, that's a more positive way of looking at it, is that maybe there's some type of uniform Microsoft subscription or Microsoft Gold or something that's going to have synergy with Windows 10.
Well, I'm just,
and so buying this would get you not only the gaming, but tinfoil hat, Microsoft Word, like Microsoft Office suite of products you could use.
I hate that they have a subscription for that too, but you know, whatever.
Well, it worked for Adobe, so. Where a lot of those companies, that their software gets pirated all the time. That's kind of where they're going now, you know. So that's their way around it, is that, you know, you check in with an authentication server all the time or it doesn't work. Always online apps, essentially.
Okay. Mm. So I have to jump in.
Okay, what is going on in the chat room, Dark Soccer? While we've been talking about Microsoft and Xbox, you guys in the chat room are going crazy. What is happening?
Basically, it starts with Act Deft going, because it's talking about, it went to talk about like Final Fantasy Mexico edition. And so he says, Fantastica Final Busqueta Mystica. So we've now started talking about what enemies and classes would be in the game. So instead of cactars, you have cactuses. And I said, instead of bards, you have El Mariachi. You know, and I was actually sort of thinking of, you know, Antonio Banderas walking around.
Wait. So since we joked about a Final Fantasy that was made for stereotypical Americans, you guys are designing a Final Fantasy for stereotypical Mexicans.
Yes. So we have luchadors instead of dragoons.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to wrestle them mm-hmm. into, you know, pieces. Then we have, what else was in there? I said to have the Toreador mm-hmm. so that you have bullfights instead of boss fights.
A Chihuahua instead of Carbuncle.
Which is Spanish, but still.
Can the plot of the game be like straight out of a telenovela?
It should be.
That'll
there
sign
needs
me
to
up.
Be fake crying.
Yes,
there needs
absolutely.
To be lots of crying.
And slap fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of slap fighting. Mm-hmm. But that would, we have to take elements then from Final Fantasy VII when you have the slap fight on top of the Shinra building.
Just bring that over. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were like, we need to ROM hack something. And I'm like, just do it in RPG Maker. So I said that this should be an official Dream game. The Gold Saucer equivalent in Mexico, by the way. It should be...
Sabado Gigante. There it is.
And like you don't rest in a tent. You just have your little villages should be like in a circle, and you know.
I love it.
And
I love it.
Your old ruins are like, you know, Aztec and Mayan ruins and whatnot.
It's like just stereotypical enough to not quite be offensive.
Exactly.
Which is very like tongue in cheek.
But we should have real
kind of,
you know,
like oh my god, why is the name escaping me? Fucking fantastic Metroidvania game.
XDuff says salsa saucer.
Why is this guacamole? God,
that,
why can't
there was
I think
mentions
of that?
Of that too.
Yeah.
So now this is actually, according to Dark Tetsuya, Final Fantasy Mexican Quest is now on the wiki. No, you have to use the right name, the name that the ActDeft gave it, because ActDeft is our official. He is our official muse in this
liaison.
I'm inspired. He's our muse.
Okay.
So Fantasia Final Busqueta Mystica. Make it so.
I love that.
Love it.
And no, we don't want to use the maracas. That would just be too much.
Yeah. No, now you're getting too stereotypical. Come on, people. Come on. All right. The things that go on in our chat room. Live.
Now, I do like Fifth Dream. Your party can only have 3 members because amigos. That was a good movie. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, since Dark Sakura and the chat room had to go there with maracas, like from, Samba de Amigo, that has us thinking a little bit about rhythm games, right? And we had some potentially big rhythm game news last week on the show, maybe 2 weeks ago, when rumors are really gaining steam that Rock Band is going to come back this year.
Which is supposed to be rumored to be announced this week.
Could be, yeah. It could be something I'm hoping to get my hands on next week if the line isn't horrendous.
Enormous.
We'll see. Well, the good thing about PAX, I will say this, the good thing about it is that, you know, unlike E3, I mean, E3, you can't do shit anymore without an appointment. E3 is, honestly, if you are just kind of going, you're going to get to maybe see Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft has stuff out there. Everybody else, you might as well have an appointment or you're really not going to get to see anything. And because it's only those 3 booths that really have stuff out on the floor, the lines are really, really long. Like, you all know, like, the epically long Nintendo lines, right? Well, because the point of PAX is it's out there for everybody to see and do, and the media doesn't really get special treatment at PAX, hopefully those lines will move a little more briskly than they would perhaps at like an E3 type show. So I will hope that if Rock Band is unveiled at PAX, I might be able to get my hands on it, as will, I'm sure, some of our listeners that will be there at the show as well. Now, here's the thing, though, and this is where the plot thickens. Harmonix, not the only ones thinking about bringing their Plastic Instrument franchise back from the dead. Yep, Activision, rumored to be working on a Guitar Hero game for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Now, they're talking a more realistic visual style with this, so it won't be so cartoony like the old games were. Maybe because that cartoony stuff got them into trouble. Like, remember Gwen Stefani not happy that she could be singing songs by Nirvana and stuff in the game, right? Remember some of those lawsuit issues? So they might take a more realistic approach with the game. Maybe that's because Rocksmith is doing pretty well and so forth, and that's a more realistic game. Yeah. I don't know. Just throwing ideas out there. But the rumor is an E3 reveal for the game. New guitar peripherals will be introduced for this. But not hearing anything about drums or keyboard, so maybe the focus will be on guitar, like the old game.
Boo! I don't want to have to buy new fucking instruments. I have enough instruments. I have a garage full of instruments.
Activision, of course, saying that they don't comment on rumor or speculation, but have previously said that it's one of the most beloved entertainment franchises. We would only bring Guitar Hero back if we developed the right innovations to usher the franchise into the new generation of gaming. And I'm going to say the same thing that I said when we talked about Rock Band, and that is we live in a very social world now, and I sort of see, I mean, the Rock Band and Guitar Hero games that we had before were great. I mean, mostly Rock Band, but even Guitar Hero as well, were great party games, living room party games, invite your friends over and have a blast. We live in an even more connected world now, just even 5 years later, than we did 5 years ago. I mean, Twitch TV streaming, not really as big of a thing 5 years ago. I think it was still Justin TV 5 years ago, and it was kind of a fringe thing, right? Than it is now. So I think maybe those innovations are going to be very rooted in social things. Like, not only can I play online with my friends, but we can kind of all see each other. And I think, what did I say about Rock Band? We'd make a music video together using all the cameras.
You'd make an awesome music video.
An awesome music video.
That would get copyright striked as soon as you upload it online. Innovation, it's the future.
Absolutely.
So they've rebuilt the cow. They have the technology, and now they're going to milk it dry again.
Well, the Guitar Hero... Here's the thing about Guitar Hero. I don't think it's as bad as people remember it in their memory.
Really?
Yeah, I
because, you know, four releases in a year is just that, not too much.
That's the thing. It's not like the core games themselves that were the issue. It was the fact that they bled that series dry.
Well, yeah.
That hurt not only that, but Rock Band as well, which... with all due respect to Harmonix, even that was happening a little bit, what with the Rock Band Green Day and the Rock Band Beatles. Although, if any band deserves their own standalone game, it's the Beatles.
I think the Beatles one was treated quite well, and they had their own separate thing with that.
Well, it was George Harrison's son behind the whole thing.
That's fair. That's fair. Sorry. I did not mean to come for Rock Band Beatles.
I completely agree with you on Green Day. I just don't see that.
But it was just... And then Guitar Hero was... Aerosmith, Van Halen. Didn't they have an AC/DC one at one point, too?
Yeah,
or was that Rock Band?
They had
there's just all these bands were getting their own games.
The thing with AC/DC, I think the Rock Band one, that was a Walmart game. It was Walmart exclusive for a while.
And then there was the Family Guitar Hero, or Band Hero, right? Which was the one that had like Taylor Swift and stuff
Lego,
in it, right?
Lego Rock Band is pretty cool.
But I don't know. It was still...
But see, really, those games I only wanted for the songs they were in them, because they had, some pretty sweet songs with that. I don't know. I just...
But then keep in mind, at the same time, Guitar Hero's getting milked dry, DJ Hero, pretty fucking awesome. And I think...
It was! They only released two games.
That's
why?
The one I want Activision to bring back.
I want that to come back.
Let Harmonix do the guitar game. Let Activision do the DJ game.
Because
that was
amazing. It was such a great game. It was such a cool idea. Like, we're going to mix these two. And it's like a whole original soundtrack with it. I thought that was cool, but no, let's just, we'll bring back Guitar Hero. Fine, you know what? I'm fine with it. You know, we'll see what they do with it. I hope it's just not like a clone of Rocksmith. I mean, and once again, I don't want to buy new guitars. I have a whole set for my Xbox 360, and I just wish I could use that with other games.
Bobby Blackwolf making a good point in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, saying, here's the thing about the plastic instruments. A lot of people's plastic instruments no longer work, and they no longer make the plastic instruments, so people can't play those games anymore. So new instruments is a given. That's going to happen, Loki. Like it or not, there will be new instruments. The question is, will there be an adapter that ends up happening that will allow those old devices to be playable in place of the new ones?
Well, let me put it this way. I have a device to do that already, playing, my Xbox 360 controller and my PlayStation 3 and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the console manufacturers have to allow this stuff too, right? Because they can lock it out, can't they?
It's hacks, whatever. But,
the Harmonix and Activision can't really be all like, you can use your old instrument with a hack. I don't think they can really endorse that, so... We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, Legend of Zaku in chat wondering, how about Kinect or camera-based instruments?
No. Nope.
For example, air guitar. I don't want to see it go that route because
that's ridiculous.
It's not going to be accurate.
Ridiculous.
Well, I wouldn't call it, go so far as to call it ridiculous. I think it's one of those things where it's just, it works better in your mind than it will in reality. That's the problem with it.
I reject his version of reality.
And substitute your own.
And replace it with my own.
If you want to be rejected as well, join us in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Soccer is standing by.
Rejection!
I seriously hope we get a new DJ Hero game, because that would be amazing. I really think that that was an underutilized series.
Right. Just harmonics, do guitar, Activision, right, you know what? Do turntable.
You know what?
Everybody's
hey,
happy.
I'm telling you, I'm fine with Activision going the guitar route. But you know what? I want harmonics to put out a DJ game then.
Well, I
that could be good.
They are doing Amplitude, which I know is not DJ.
That's not the same. That's
I know. All right. Anyway, obviously, our show's roots is in music games, so we have some very passionate opinions about this.
I meant to go play DJ Hero this week. I haven't. I'll do that this week.
All right. I just don't. Here's my thing at PAX East, guys. I'm going to be there. Bobby's going to be there. We all know Bobby's a drummer, so Bobby's clearly going to be the drummer in the band. So what am I going to do? Am I going to sing? I hope I'm not going to sing. I want to play bass or something. Going to be the bassist. Who else is going to stand in line with Bobby and I to play the new rock band? That's what I want to know. Maybe SSJ 100 Matt. See ya. He liked to play guitar. He could be lead guitar, right? We'll see. Anyway, who's the best singer in the OL Army that's going to PAX East? That's what I want to know. We'll see. Bobby Blackwell saying Amplitude is what they'll be showing on the PAX floor. For sure, Amplitude will be there. So maybe they'll announce Rock Band, but it may not be playable. We are making a huge assumption the Rock Band would be playable if they announced it. And maybe they're going to keep that in their hat till E3.
And I could still see them having Rock Band there, but it will be like maybe the new DLC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Or maybe a demo where like every 15, 30 minutes, the Harmonix PR guys will come out on stage and play a song, and that's that. Like, you don't play a song, they play a song, and you watch. That type of thing. That's what they did at that one E3 with Rock Band Beatles. They played it, we watched. So, but of course, there was a big focus on that game and the visuals and how everything was in the Beatles style. But anyway. All right. ActF saying I can play keyboard. My last thought on Rock Band. Please don't ditch the keyboards just because Rock Band 3 was not as huge of a deal as Rock Band 2 and so forth. I loved keyboards. Please, please, please don't get rid of keyboards. Please, harmonics. Please. I'm going to ugly cry if you get rid of keyboards. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be there.
I have a keyboard too. I haven't really used
it. I'm going to be there at PAX East. If you get rid of keyboards, I'm going to ugly cry at your booth. Ugly, ugly cry.
You know something funny?
What?
We actually still have all of our peripherals and they still work. All of them.
They were well built.
You know what else I have that still works?
Huh.
My Guitar Freaks controller.
Right?
And my Drummania controller.
I don't think I have a single dance pad that still works, but yeah, I have those plastic instruments, man. They take a licking.
Who did I sell my Keyboard Mania to, or did I? Did I sell it to you?
No.
No.
I bought my own.
I was
going
to sell my Keyboard Mania to somebody. I don't remember. Yeah.
All right.
I think I offered it to you first.
I think you did.
Well, anyway, Sega has words for Nintendo, which honestly, you know, Sega's fucking up a lot of stuff, so I don't know how much Nintendo should listen. But this comes from this former Sega CEO, Tom Kalinske. Basically, he's saying Nintendo should keep doing what they're doing because they're really good at it. The quote says, "I don't think Nintendo should give up hardware or consoles. I'm surprised they haven't formed a division to extend the IP. I'd love to play some of their games on my iPhone or iPad. It's really a form of marketing for them in a sense. They wouldn't even need to make that much money off of it. It would keep their brands relevant to the user, including people that are older like me. So it seems to me it's a marketing mistake, but I don't think they should give up what they're doing because they're damn good at it."
Hmm.
It seems to me that Sega's mistake is going the portable route. As far as doing things on, you know, phones and whatnot, because I think they might have even oversaturated the public consciousness with their IP.
I don't think it's a mistake, honestly, just because look at the sales that they had in their last console game. I mean, I think if they're making money in, you know, mobile and they're not making money in consoles, then they've got to move to mobile.
See, they need to actually go back and instead of putting all of the effort into shitty games and, you know, mediocre mobile games, they could actually recapture what they had and put out good games.
Exactly.
And not oversaturate it with a new reinvention every, you know, 5 months.
Look at what you did right in the past. You don't need to change it. You just need to make more of it. That's it. I mean, no one ever said, "Damn, I wish Sonic had some more friends." No one said that. Or, "Hey, you know, I like this fast running part, but I really wish it would just slow down so I could have a nice little brawl with some robots." No one fucking said that ever in the history of time
about
Sonic the Hedgehog.
You know what? I like Knuckles. Sonic Adventure did everything right, I think. That was the last really good Sonic game, was the first Sonic Adventure. It gave us different gameplay, but we could always go back and do the Sonic levels. It had the speed, and it was actually something that you were playing instead of just a series of cutscenes or target dashes, you know? And I think that perhaps maybe it should be that Sega should be following Nintendo's example and doing what they know works. Recapturing what they know works, using the teams that they knew put out a good product.
Make a fighting game with all your franchise characters.
What?
Or make a fighting game with all your franchise characters.
They've done that several times.
Sega?
Yes.
Well, I understand that, but it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been
we
a
need
long.
Fighters Mega Mix 2.
Yes, like Smash Bros.
We want to play as the Daytona car.
Hell yes, or just get the Daytona car's DLC.
You could also
Smash
play as the palm tree from the AM2 logo.
So random.
I know, that was such
random.
A great game. But yeah, I'm just go back and do what works, you know? Stop, you know, trying to chase something that's this ephemeral, distant item that you can't obtain, and go back to your roots. You know, if you look at actually other companies in general, how many companies do you know that branched off until they forgot what they were doing, wiped everything out, went back to what they were good at, and are now profitable companies? I mean, I can't name certain names, but I can definitely allude to it here in the studio here. But there are a bunch of companies who had just branched off, forgot what they did well, and had to go back to their roots, rebuild, start from zero.
Right.
So, Sega, learn your lesson. Nintendo's doing fine. You should learn from them.
Just please don't disappear altogether, Sega. That'd be a bit much for me to take. That's all I'm saying. So, anyhow, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and check out some games coming to a console or a PC near you a little sooner than perhaps whatever Sega's doing next.
It's really sad that it's been such a slow year. I mean, I just don't even know. But this week, we really only have one game coming out on Xbox One and Xbox 360, Scream Ride.
What even is that?
Scream Ride, it's a roller coaster game where you build the track as you're kind of going, and I don't know if you're killing people in your ride. It's just like some weird like puzzle racing game. I don't know. It's strange.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you go.
Hey, but that's all you got this week.
So all right. Take it or leave it. Maybe something digitally to sweeten the pot. Who knows?
There is other digital games, but I'm talking about physical releases. That's it.
All right. Anyhow, going over to Japan and checking out the releases there. PlayStation 4 looks pretty thin, too. You do get Evolve this week. The Japanese release of Evolve is this week on March the 5th. On the PlayStation 3, Downtown Neketsu Koshikyoku. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Downtown Neketsu. It's River City Ransom.
Oh, my God, it is. Oh, I didn't recognize it in the name when I see it. But now that I see the artwork, I'm like, holy shit. This looks awesome. What is this? I want it now.
Yeah, fuck.
This looks like... Okay.
You see Downtown Neketsu. That's down the hot-blooded story thing.
Oh my God, it even looks like it has story. This looks like it's some type of fucking sequel to like River City Ransom or something. What is this? I need it now. There's online battle, whatever this is, online battle, single play, free battle, online battle.
If Ikuma-san gets this for me, I'll send him something from
here. Oh yeah, because PlayStation 3 is region free, isn't it?
Yep.
This might be something we have to check out.
I'm actually just sort of kidding, but I'm going to import the fuck out of this.
Let's see. Okay, here it is. So they recently announced in Famitsu a remake of this. It was also known as Crash and the Boys Street Challenge, released in 1990 for the NES. It takes these characters and pits them against each other in a sporting event where everything goes, especially cheating. New in this version, highly detailed 3D backgrounds, online multiplayer support, and a single-player story mode. Huh. So
Crash
there you go.
The boys.
Now I wonder.
I laughed my ass off at that reference in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty awesome.
I'm gonna buy this right now.
Why do I end up doing Japanese releases when you know some of these series right by their Japanese titles? I fully admit I don't know that. So I don't know. Anyway,
I can't order it yet.
Getting a price reduction this week, Ayu Densetsu Sen no Kisuke going into the best series there. Let's see. Moving on the Wii U this week, nothing, because Mario Party 10 is not out until next week. On the PlayStation Vita this week, Iyu Densetsu Sen no Kisuke gets its price reduction on the Vita as well. And lastly, on the 3DS, Lego City Undercover gets a Japanese release this week. And Doraemon Nobita no Uchu Iyuki comes out this week on the 5th.
Doraemon?
Yeah.
I love Doraemon games. They're so cute.
Yeah. Now, that one I know. But there's a lot of games in that series. So, all right. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
In the UK, we have just a few things, really. We've got Ali Ali 2 for PS4, Vita, and White Knight for PS4 on the 4th. And then on the 6th, we have Scream Ride for the Microsoft systems. And Zombie Army Trilogy on PS4, Xbox, and PC. That's it.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase SHOP.
All right, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week, Loki.
Well, I know it's time to get excited, especially when I'm seeing that Valve had an announcement. Well, actually, I should say HTC had an announcement, because they have a brand new virtual reality headset. This is the kind of culmination of HTC and Steam. Now it's the HTC Vive, which is supposed to be coming out later this year and is going to be another headset for VR. They're saying that it's going to have some pretty awesome displays. It can do video up to 90 frames per second. They're saying that it's got dual 1200 by 1080 displays as opposed to, you know, what's currently in the Oculus Rift DK2, which is a single 1080p panel. And they have this really strange video teaser of it, but I don't know. I'm worried, though, that there's going to be a lot of fragmentation from this. And also, is this going to be like the new Valve console now? Are we going to have, like, because remember they were going to have those Steam boxes and stuff, and that kind of went by the wayside. Is this going to be kind of like the new Steam box thing? I don't know. But they are saying it's going to be out this year. So at the very least, we know there will be some VR this year. Some sort of consumer VR piece. And how much does it cost is what I want to know, too. Because
any worry about the pool getting a little crowded with all these different people now getting in?
Well, yeah, no. Because there's a lot of different PC manufacturers out there. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be any fragmentation there. But
good point.
And like the mobile market, though, I mean, there is, especially on the Android side, there's a lot of fragmentation. I'm worried, though, there needs to be some sort of like standard. Or hopefully it's easy to port, like, say, if I make a game for Oculus, it's easy to port it to this and port it to Morpheus and HoloLens, however I'm going to do it on there, you know, that type of thing.
Well, if they're all rooted in PC, you don't exactly have to port things to different
PCs. I understand that, but, like, you know, just different standards, I guess, for
like
things.
Like specs, maybe? Like
specs or, like, how the you know, the sensors work in it for, like, you know, tracking movement and that kind of thing.
Again, though, with a PC, it's very easy to do different resolutions, right? So hopefully, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, but, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be too challenging, I would hope.
I don't know. Be interesting to see. I think they're supposed to be showing this off at GDC this week.
Well, if Bobby had done a show tonight, I'm sure he would have been talking about this, but he is in chat saying the Valve HMD will be a higher-end product that will cost a lot more, kind of like Alienware PCs. Tiger Claw asking, what's the refresh rate on this new headset? If it's two screens at 1080p, it has to be able to do 60 hertz on each eye. And Black Wolf saying it is 90. So there you go.
That sounds pretty cool. I just, you know, I hope it's not incredibly expensive. Like
I think we're getting really, really close to those VR headsets showing up in people's homes pretty regularly. I think that's probably going to be a thing this holiday. You're going to start to see that. I don't know if necessarily like the PlayStation 4's Morpheus will be this holiday, but if not this holiday, next, for sure. Like, we're going to really start to see this take off, I think, next year. So,
I'm excited. This is different. This is kind of the whole, you know, different way to experience things, like when the Wii first came out. This is the type of innovation. Sadly, Nintendo doesn't seem to have anything like this yet. And I'm worried that they're going to kind of miss the boat on it again.
I'm okay with them doing their own path. Maybe they'll think of something else. I mean, you just said they did the Wii. you know, they thought of that. So
yeah, but
maybe
that's like
think of something else.
That's like years ago now. I mean,
okay, well,
let's be innovative. I mean, they tried, but it's just not working. They're like, they're kind of trailing on what's being popular with things. I think they're like, oh, people like tablets. Let's make a tablet control. Oh, people are like really into 3D now.
I think from a technical aspect, yeah, because they still very much want to profit on every console they sell, whereas other companies will take a loss, but they want to profit on every Wii U sold. So the tech specs aren't usually as impressive. But, you know, they believed in the tablet thing. They just, I guess, hoped that third parties would be a little more excited about it than they really ended up being in practice. I think that's what kind of, you know, everybody sounded really excited about it in the beginning, but then, like, everybody just ran away. Like, when the system didn't do so well when it came out, everybody just ran away. And now it's been really up to Nintendo to support it. And, you know, instead of maybe necessarily doing these vision games they wanted to make, they had to do the games that they know would sell, that they can do well, that would sell. Like, a new Mario Kart probably came out a little faster than maybe otherwise would have, and so on and so on. So
Bobby says Nintendo's failing all the way to the bank.
The DS is still doing well for them.
I am glad the DS is doing well, and I have high hopes for them with Zelda. I just hope it's enough. I mean, I don't know. They're doing okay right now, but there's only so long they can last on first-party titles. And yeah, I understand that the first-party titles are good, and people do buy their systems for those titles, but how long is it going to be that people are going to just pay all this money just to buy first-party games for this one platform? I mean, I don't know. This is why I kind of am not buying a system yet, because what else am I going to really play in there except for a couple games?
Well, here's a big part of Nintendo's future here as well, because these things won't stop selling. And this week, for a very brief period of time, Gold Mario Amiibo, they showed up. It was a Walmart exclusive thing, and they showed up for order, pre-order or whatever on Walmart's website, and they were gone in minutes. And what happened? Of course, they're all up on eBay. $65, some are a little more modest, like 20 or 30. Some are going up to $100. One pre-order reportedly went for $1,500, although that could have been trolls that inflated that amount. Who knows? But the Gold Amiibos flying. And I have to admit, like,
I don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't. But you guys all know how I feel about the Amiibo in the first place. And then to take the Mario Amiibo and basically spray paint it gold, I'm like, what's the big fucking deal? Why are people going so crazy?
Does he appear gold in the game when you play as
I have no idea.
Or if it's not, then there's really no reason.
Even if he did, who cares? It's not, like, worth $60 from a scalper for that.
Just think about it. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, these Amiibos are like, what, $13? Is that what they are? I mean, let's assume that you buy it at retail. Okay, so $13. You're essentially buying a character. It's not even a character DLC. You're buying, like, I don't even know what you're buying for $13.
Well,
like,
a
collectible figure, cool.
The
but
figures are well made, and the people that are collecting it for the figures themselves and even the limited functionality there is, I get it. Like, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I fucking hate Amiibo and everybody that buys them is stupid or whatever. No. It's not what I'm saying. The thing I don't get is, because it is so limited, whether that's port strike, Nintendo's artificial, whatever the case may be, because it's so limited, it's the hysteria behind it and the whole I have to have every single one mentality that I don't get.
Don't buy the port strike bullshit for a minute, because they've done this shit ever since, like, the Wii came out. Like, oh, we just can't keep up with the demand. It's so much. Come on. They know how the fuck their products sell at this point. I don't believe for a second that, oh, that port strike. They even said it was, you know, light enough to where they could ship that shit air. So, I'm sorry. I don't buy that for a second. It's fucking artificial shortages to drive the hysteria up so that it's, how many fucking articles, seriously, and this is why I don't try to report on a lot of this stuff anyways, even though I guess we're talking about it now, but, like,
well, it was a slower news week.
I understand that, but, like, seriously, if you read the game box, how many fucking articles about Amiibos because people are still looking for them and, like, talking about pre-orders and what's out, where it's out at? Dude, who gives a shit?
I'm gonna tell you why. The reason why all those articles are going, because of all the hysteria behind it, it's clickbait. It is essentially clickbait, because never do these websites, well, I shouldn't say never, but rarely do these websites say, go here to pre-order the Amiibo. the website instead says, come to our site to learn about where you can get the amiibo. You're going to have to click through to their site, and then it will show you what is open and taking the orders for amiibo. It's clickbait, and the reason why it's so popular is because money. Because of the fact that there are people that want to hunt this stuff out and will snatch them up when they first come out so they can resell them. It's that money factor, and these sites that are running the story about who has them in at this second and so forth want those hits. From people Googling it and so forth.
So stupid. Like, I'm what it is. Sick of hearing about these things.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's, like, there's no, honestly, aside from being able to kind of train them a little bit in Smash Bros., there's really no worthwhile uses for these characters right now. It's just, it's a promise that these will be used in the future for something really interesting. I remember the Kinect like that.
Okay. SS200 Matt in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com saying, so it's Mario in a blue and white dress. I mean, white and gold. I mean, blue and black. I knew.
Shut up. Shut up.
I had to make a reference at some point tonight. It was a good job. I'm high-fiving you, SS200 Matt. Okay. Bobby Blackwolf Loki calling you out a little bit here, and I have to get your thoughts on this. Saying, quote, Nintendo can't survive this way for long. Quote, Nintendo sucks because there's too much demand. I thought Nintendo was a failing company and nobody cared about what they were selling. Now we're talking about too many people wanting what Nintendo is selling. Make up your mind.
No, my mind is made up. They're not selling a lot of them because they're creating artificial shortages. So, I mean, they could be selling a lot more if they wouldn't, you know, do this bullshit, and you wouldn't have also that middle market, but it doesn't make for a good story if stuff's readily available.
Are you perhaps irritated because since you don't get amiibo, and amiibo is so popular right now because they're figures or this eBay hysteria or whatever, that the focus is not on games right now, the focus is on these figures?
No, it's going to be a focus.
I was trying to help you out.
No, here's what it is.
Okay.
And this is, they're just going the same route as Activision is with Skylanders, and it's, what it is it's extremely profitable for them to create these figures. Cause it costs nothing to make that shit. Mm-hmm. It costs nothing. Nowhere near $12. And they're making a huge profit from it. So, of course, they're going to want that. And they're going to want to put out as many of those as possible. That's why Skylanders, which is essentially a nothing, at one point it was just like a, you know, knockoff of the Spyro brand. Now it's spun off into its own thing. I mean, they're making tons of money off that because people are dumb and will buy every single Skylanders figure that comes out and all the variants and all the other shit. And they literally had, at one time, there was the Skylander that came with basically every single copy of that game. You know, whether you bought the starter pack or you bought, if you already owned it, pack or whatever they call that. It was just a different color. But people bought it. It's literally just a different fucking color than the one you already have. And people bought it because I don't know why. And this is the same reason with these amiibos. Like, it's a gold Mario. Who gives a shit? No one's going to be like, oh my God, you have a gold Mario. That's so exclusive to Walmart. I mean, no one gives a shit. It's just an amiibo. It's just a little toy. And now they're going to have the card ones too. Whatever. You know what? I can't tell you how to spend your money. I just don't get it.
Right.
I think they really need to have some worthwhile reason for this.
It's tricky because I actually, Loki, I do agree with you to a point. I really do. To a point. I think you might be a little harsh on it.
It's like, I guess, like the new 3DS. Like the new 3DS, you know, they're like, oh, it's got all these features that we're not utilizing yet. Kind of like that. It's like, well, we promise we'll use it in really cool ways later on.
But there's a lot of people that never got the 3DS XL, so there's a worthy upgrade there.
That's
I get it.
Fine, but they could still get the 3DS XLs now.
Back to Amiibo for a minute. I do kind of agree there's a lot of mentality out there of the, I have this and you don't, Like, there's just a lot of that in gaming. You see that everywhere. The whole, like, I've got it and you don't, Like, it's the whole, like, gotta catch them all and everything. Like, that definitely plays
just
a factor
you wait.
To it.
You think amiibos are bad now. You have no fucking idea. And you think I'm joking. They will put out a Pokemon amiibo for every goddamn fucking Pokemon that they have.
But. My mother, bless her heart, her birthday was this week, by the way. Happy birthday, Mom. She collects dolls that she sees on QVC. She has a complete collection of Richard Simmons dolls.
Oh my god!
That self, yes, she has them in a glass case. Jamie's like, what?
Well, yeah,
I knew I loved your mother.
You have to have them in a glass case so they don't kill you in the middle of the night when they come alive.
And she also collects the Marie Osmond dolls, which are like a very similar thing that she also has in her glass case and so forth. So a lot of you are probably sitting here and going, oh my god, what a Richard Simmons dolls, really? Your mom's a quack and so forth. But
I'm just imagining these little porcelain dolls of Richard Simmons.
You know what? Well, they're old people that look like Richard Simmons. That's the whole – it's fascinating. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. My point is, why does she buy them? Because she wants to. She wants to have them. She wants that collection. She wants them all in the case. And you know what? I, for one –
God, these are creepy.
The woman – did you Google it?
Yes, I did.
The woman has worked very hard in her life. She raised me, for God's sake. She can have whatever she wants in her glass case. So if collecting all these amiibo, if going to the store at 6 o'clock in the morning and camping out and getting that amiibo and being right there and if that's what you want, I am not one to question you on those choices and building up that collection. I'm just gonna say respectfully, not for me, thank you. I don't care that much.
In that case,
and I wish Nintendo would put the dolls on QVC, because my mother never had to wait at 6 a.m. to get a fucking doll. She could just call QVC and they happily took her money.
If that's the case, then you know what? I hope to God that like months from now, when they haven't still found a real reasonable use for those amiibos, aside from unlocking some shit in a game, I really hope that you don't have your buyer's remorse at that time and realize, oh, I spent like $400 on these stupid, you know, figurines. I just hope that's the case, because I don't know. I don't get it. And if they had a really good use to the, you know, for them, if, you know, aside from just training them for whatever, you know, in Smash Brothers, then I could probably get on board with that. But it just doesn't seem like they're used for anything.
Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. We have SSG100 Matt, our local comedian, with another question saying, here's a question. What is harder to catch these days, amiibos or llamas? Again, with the meme jokes for the week.
You know it's easier to catch than amiibos? Measles, because of anti-vaxxers.
I'm like, can we get something worked in there? Okay, I don't know what this is.
There's another link that I had above that one. Cause it's actually that doll, that girl doll there. I found a picture of Richard Simmons like posing with her on the cover of like Doll Fancy or something.
No, whatever. Okay, that second one is definitely not the doll. Again, Dark Soccer is posting links in our live chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. So I apologize. I know it's radio. Okay, this is it. First one that you linked here.
There's a nun and like this guy dressed in a raincoat with pink wings or something was one of them. I'm like, okay, those are actually kind of cute.
I'm describing this best I can for people listening on the podcast. There's like an old man here, and he has a little tag, and it said Nana's Family in the Mama's Family font, by the way, and it says Richard Simmons. That's how you know it's one of the dolls, because it has a little tag on it, a little blue tag that says that.
Okay,
I don't get it though. It doesn't look like Richard Simmons.
It's not just inspired by him. It's inspired by people in his family. So they trust me. They look a little bit like him. They do.
It's just
a little
weird.
Like if you were a wrinkly old man and hadn't had millions of dollars.
Sadly, Richard Simmons hasn't been seen in a year. He probably is starting to get that way.
Well,
although
that's what surgery's for.
Yeah.
Well, now all you need to do is stick one of those, you know, those readers on the bottom of that, and there you go. There is your amiibo. It's a Richard Simmons old man amiibo.
By the way, my mother loves Richard Simmons with all her heart, and therefore so do I. So I'm just going to say, don't you fucking come for Richard Simmons.
Hey.
I will wreck you. I'm just going to say that loud and clear. The man is a saint.
Rob.
End of story.
I was actually going to ask you if you wanted me to put together a RuPaul for you.
A what?
I was going to make you your favorite drag queen. if you sent me pictures, I could totally make you a ball-jointed doll that looks like your favorite drag queen.
My favorite drag queen. I probably, amongst all the seasons, one of my very favorites ever was probably, probably right now, actually, at the moment, Alaska. Alaska's probably my favorite.
There was one that I was...
After all, my Final Fantasy character is Lil Poundcake, so...
There was one, though, that I was looking at, though, who is up for, like, some, board member status... For one of the GLBTQA something deal, who is a drag queen that goes by, I can't think of the name now, but using his Native American roots for his drag persona.
Hmm.
And I can't remember, but the gorgeous.
Hmm.
And that's Dan.
And your phone just made a level up noise as you were talking about drag
when
queen.
Dan texts me, it makes level up noise.
Yeah, SSJ reminded me in the chat, SJ100 Matt said, Richard Simmons retweeted and favorited one of Rob's tweets. He died that day. He actually didn't retweet it, but he did respond to it. And yes, that did make my day.
Have you seen that?
You know who I called first thing? My mother.
Mom. You know, actually, though, have you seen who I've been in a really random, tagging really randomly in a Twitter conversation?
Hmm.
Is Moon Unit Zappa. Me and this other guy were like, I retweeted something that she said about having like a social media thing that was all pictures of your pets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started talking about making one that was all reaction gifts, and you got in on it too. And you tagged her for this. So I'm sure that that Ms. Zappa is sitting here going, the fuck are these people?
All right, look. We gotta take a time. We gotta take a time back, a step back to the classic game of the week. Back when the Zappas were, you know, all the craze. Actually, no, not that far back. But we are gonna take a step back in gaming's history with a segment we call the classic game of the week, where Darkstalker is gonna step into the vault and she's gonna find a game that she thinks, hey, you all should be playing this game this week. And you know what? I think this week Darkstalker has picked a game I think a lot of you have played. But you should probably go back and play it again to remember.
I have memories, Rob.
How awesome this series used to be.
So many feelings.
Me too. We talked about some of these feelings last week. Darkstalker, what is the classic game of the week?
Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat.
Electric Boogaloo?
No. Mortal Kombat 2. Now, mind you, I have done the first Mortal Kombat, you know, but Mortal Kombat 2 has a very special place in the bowels of my bowels.
Wow.
The cockles of the heart, maybe the liver, maybe even the colon.
Sorry, I'm just getting some of that tense battle music in here.
Yeah. Well, Mortal Kombat 2, when it came out, it was a thing. Like, thing capitalized in bold text with that weird MS Word 3D effect and exclamation points. It was a thing. And which is probably topical for the day anyway. So it came out in 1993. This was actually my senior year of high school. And it was just a big thing. Basically, it came out on damn near everything, too, that was available at the time. But it was the second game in the Mortal Kombat series. It really added a lot more to the mythology of the game. It gave us more fatalities. New characters, which actually had, I was completely addicted to playing as Kitana. We got Kung Lao Melina, who is actually coming up with a very big role in the current Mortal Kombat game. And then it had Shao Kahn in there, who I don't believe was playable to begin with, but now he's like the big bad, and you get to play as the previous boss. It's set in Outworld, so it has a lot more going on in it, a lot more crazy mysticism, you know, weird, okay, backgrounds, and
what was that?
Microphone destruction. This is probably, to me, the best of the entire series, just saying. It also had a spin-off game that came out called Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, and it was the biggest influence on the 2011 reboot of Mortal Kombat. It was... All the characters were digitized. They stopped this, I believe, after Mortal Kombat 3, so Mortal Kombat 3 was the last one with the digitized characters. It had, you know, really in-depth, you know, high punch, low punch, high kick, low kick. All kinds of different neat Easter eggs. You had crouching punch, turnaround kicks, all kinds of more stuff that was thrown in it. The whole uppercut, including the toasty that you could get. And basically, the big thing that was taken out of it, which I thought didn't hurt the game at all, was the test your might thing and the point system from the first game. I was glad to see gone. Of course, we had the fatalities. Every character, I believe, had at least two. You also had the babalities, where they turn the opponent into the crying baby. Friendships, which were absolutely freaking hilarious. I loved...
Friendships were rad.
Oh, yeah. Like a...
Just a little voice. Friendship. Friendship.
Well, I also... You know, like, Melina's was what? Making a cake.
Yeah.
And Johnny Cage was his signature, and... Luke Higgs was a disco dance.
This video we have here that we're looking at in studio is a bunch of Kung Lao doing the fighting, and I believe he pulls a bunny out of his hat, doesn't
yes.
he? Yes.
I great. Believe he does. Or either that or it was Raiden. No, Raiden does the rainbow.
Yeah.
Raiden does the rainbow. You also have, of course, level...
Oh my god, he just did it in the video. He did the bunny. He's cute.
Yeah.
Friendship. Anyway, sorry, distracted.
Anyway, you also had stage-specific fatalities, like you had the pit, you had the acid, you had, you know, you even had the, what was the one for, what was his name? The guy that would shapeshift.
Shang Tsung.
Shang Tsung, yeah. You had his Goro fatality, where he would shapeshift into Goro, where you had to hold the, what was it, the low kick button? You had to hold it for 40 seconds. So what we would do is we would just have somebody hold that button for us while we were doing it.
Nice.
So we could see it. There were a bunch of different beta editions of this too. That was the big thing. Oh yeah, Baraka was in this game too. Baraka was cool.
Baby Baraka.
Baby Baraka. But anyway, this there were so many different beta versions that were out. That you actually found strategy guides being released for the beta editions of these. You know, when the internet was in its infancy as far as a big source of public information,
we got this shit off BBSs that were connected. Yeah. Connected BBS message boards. So it's like somebody in fucking Sunnyvale or, you know, wherever the homes were would post on their BBS. And then, like, the BBS in Fresno would download from that. And then the BBS here in Sacramento would download from that. It's like that's how we got all our fucking moves lists and things. Crazy.
But, like, it's so crazy because, I mean, we actually started following, like, some of these actors. Like, have I seen them in other games? Are they doing other things, you know?
Or do they play three people in the same game?
Exactly. Like, palette swap people. Like, you know, just looking at, you know, like, the one who played Kitana and Melina after a while, I think she actually was an actual legit martial artist. She was a Cuban lady.
I think a lot of them were. I think a lot of them, big in Chicago, where yeah. they were based.
But basically, the thing, though, about those beta editions is that the fact that whenever they would put out a tweak to the game, and see, a lot of the betas on these were mostly East Coast, which is... That was when I, my high school band took a trip up the East Coast to go to New York. And we got to try, we ran into at least two different game betas at the time, having photocopied BBS printouts of move lists and combo patterns.
That's so awesome.
And it was back in the day of Kitana's Infinite, where you could do the fly and the fan and the thing over and over again. I used to be so good at that. So yeah, in this game we had Baraka, we had Jax, who ended up getting like the mecha arms and whatever. Kitana, we had Kung Lao, we had Melina, and we also then had the returning characters of Johnny Cage, rest in peace, Liu Kang, Raiden, Reptile, Scorpion, Shang Tsung, and Sub-Zero. For the non-playables, you had Shao Kahn, and you had Kentaro, who was actually a stop-motion animation, while the rest of everybody was digitized. Hidden characters in here were, you had Jade, who was a green palette swap of Kitana and Melina. You had Noob Saibot, who was the lost warrior from the first Mortal Kombat game who, you know, people kept saying, oh, he's hidden in the game. Well, they put him in. And then you had Smoke, who was in gray with the smoke effect. You could not play as Sonya or Kano, although they did show up in background.
Was Reptile in 2?
Reptile was in 2, I believe. Because yeah, Reptile had the acid breath.
Yeah. He did that little force ball that went, and then they get like fly over, yeah.
And this was also the game that, and actually I think if you fought Reptile, you fought him in the pit, or one of the guys you fought in the
In Mortal Kombat 1,
pit.
You did. In Mortal Kombat 1, you did.
Yeah.
But Reptile was just a like, character like any other in this game.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is this is the game that gave us Ermac. Because it was in the... I've actually got to see it, too. One of the arcade techs at my at the movie theater I used to go to would say, hey, look, this is where they got the Ermac from, and this is this guy, and this is this guy. And he's like, I wonder what this is going to be. I've tried to fiddle around this, and I haven't found anything in the code, and blah, 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 blah. And it was just really crazy. The whole point, though, is that Ed Boon, who was the lead programmer, said that the big thing was that they wanted to make it look different than the original Mortal Kombat. And it has everything in the game that they didn't have time for in the first one. They said they got new equipment and just... Everything, they had actually started working on it while they were still in the middle of the whole mania that was surrounding the first Mortal Kombat. The actors were actually filmed in a on a gray screen, recorded on a Hi8 camera, and then which then they ended up upgrading the camera that they were using. The video capture was computer processed and rendered, so it was a lot of different stuff like this. They were even said that they were spray painted with water to make them look sweaty, and to and then they actually went and re-edited the sprites that they made from those captures to add shine and add more depth to muscle and everything.
I always thought, especially because we're looking at the video again where he's fighting Liu Kang, and Liu Kang looks especially shiny.
Goro and Kintaro were clay sculptures that were made by a friend of John Tobias. And these were turned into 12-inch latex miniatures for stop-motion filming. And they had to keep all of the costumes simple because of things like what they had to be able to animate. So they would actually freeze, have them pose in like a curled-up position. So that if they had to do things like a backflip or something, it was just a stationary pose. It wasn't like a full animation. And then the memory limitation of the game was why they couldn't include more of the characters from the previous game. They had to have more palette swap characters and just had the move lists, you know, set for each character. The other thing, too, is that they actually worked on gravity effects for the game. Redid a lot of the music. Basically, they just went all out into this. And there was even a comic book that came out when the arcade version came out. It was actually written and done drawn by Tobias. I've had a copy of this at one time. So as far as home versions... There's a fucking buttload of them. There's actually a whole wiki page dedicated to the various versions. So there was a Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, Game Gear, Master System, 32X, PlayStation, Sega Saturn, Amiga, DOS, later releases under the Midway Arcade Treasures, and then PSN, Xbox Live Arcade, and Windows Editions. So, trust me, it's not hard to find this. What I want to find is... good emulators of the beta versions, because the betas I think were a little bit more fun to play.
I think I have some of those on the cabinet.
Now the game though was opened up to a ton of controversy, even more than the first one did. So many people were like, oh, violence and blood and blah, 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 blah. And it was banned in Germany. It was considered harmful to young persons. All versions except the Game Boy edition were confiscated for violating German penal code. The game also came out with green-colored blood and black-and-white fatality sequences in Japan, which was kind of the opposite of what we would have with games that came out over here.
Yeah,
from
isn't
Japan.
That the opposite of what happened with Kill Bill?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
so
Kill
weird.
Bill was still much later. But
yeah, I know, but still, it's just interesting.
And... this is something actually that Boon came out saying that they were glad, you know, that a rating system is actually a good idea. and they were happy that it existed for the time that Mortal Kombat 2 came out. It was an M-rated game, so people wouldn't have an issue with it. They knew what they were going into.
Which is funny, because nowadays, if it's an M-rated game, they don't know what they're getting into, for the most part.
And then Guy Alki, who was the president of a Media Action Network for Asian Americans, said that it was perpetuating existing stereotypes of Asian martial artists, even though, and I will point this out, most of the cast was Hispanic. It's just a whole bunch of crap came out, and then there were, you know, it was just so much that went out, and now we sort of look at it and go, oh, 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 laugh about it. But we still see this happen today.
I think many folks our age certainly remember it was like the first Super Nintendo game where Nintendo finally said, all right, you can put blood in the game. You know, and that's probably thanks to the fact that the ESRB was there now.
Oh my God, this game was great on Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo was a great translation, it really was.
But I remember sitting up with my little brothers, because in the arcade, this actually had things hidden in it.
I was going to say, you were not going to, you've been talking about this game for almost 15 minutes now, which is fine, it's a game that needs it, but you cannot end this without talking about the hidden game in the game. You cannot.
After playing 250 consecutive games, I believe it would be 250 consecutive victories of this game, you could unlock Pong. Yes, you can play Pong hidden in this game. I mean, I'm sorry, it's Midway. Fuck. So, it was just, my brothers and I sat and tried so hard to see if it was there in the Super Nintendo version, only to find out that it only let us play 200 matches before it reset the number. So sad. So sad. There were, of course, other rumors of unlockable content, like the nudality, which, of course, wasn't going to happen, you know, because people can't seem to separate, you know, their libido from a fucking video game. There was also, you know, a few different torch. There was the torch thing that was basically a unnamed Liu Kang that was like back in the background of one of the pits. And then they actually brought that out in Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance as a character named Blaze, who actually became the final boss of Mortal Kombat Armageddon. The animalities that they, you know, had rumored in this one, they came out in Mortal Kombat 3. So, there was even that, wasn't the, there was the Mortal Kombat movie, which was good. The second Mortal Kombat movie was crap. And I don't even think I bothered, no, I did see the second one in the theater. It was the third one I was forced to watch and wanted that hour and half of my life back.
Straight to video, wasn't it? The third one was straight to video, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Maybe. I don't remember.
Mortal Kombat 2 actually does have an HD remake collection, which is a Mortal Kombat arcade collection. But yeah, you know, I'm actually really disappointed because this article doesn't have all of the hidden stuff in it. And then there was the the other rumor about Scarlet, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Which was supposed to be a red palette swap of Melina. And she ended up being in the 2011 Mortal Kombat. So, I guess there's all the stuff in there. But yeah, I like how they take the speculations that the fan community has, you know, made or tried to do. And like, okay, well, you asked for it. Thank you for saving us the idea of, you know, trouble, you know, of brainstorming this. Here we go. So, yeah, the game's Mortal Kombat 2.
There it is. As I say, that 16-minute video finished, Darksaga. We've been talking about this game a long time. That's all right. You know what? It's a great game.
I have fond memories.
I'm sure a lot of people do.
Fond, fuzzy, warm, happy memories.
All right.
Of such a violent, gory game.
But we are going to take a break, guys. When we come back, there's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including the chance for you guys to call in and participate with the show. Maybe you want to talk to Loki about that whole amiibo thing, or maybe you want to talk about Final Fantasy, especially the Final Fantasy Mexico version, as Darsako was talking about earlier in the show. Or
I do like that title, though. That's awesome.
If you aren't excited for Dragon Quest Heroes, we'll talk about all that and more when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live on this March 1st, 2015. Can you believe it's March already? The 589th episode of our show already in progress. And before we get to rapid-fire news tonight, let us go to the forum follow-up segment, where we are going to take a post or two from our forums and talk about it. Actually, there wasn't a lot of activity on the forums this week, and part of that was my bad. I didn't really get around to making any topics to follow up last week's show, because I was doing some other stuff. But, thankfully, some of y'all remembered that you can make topics, and we'll still talk about them on the show if you want to do some extended discussion. And Flacco Jones made a topic on the forum this week that he calls the Metacritic Danger Zone. And that was inspired by something we were talking about on last week's show with The Order and the poor Metacritic score that The Order was receiving. And so Flacco Jones was wondering on the forums, what is your favorite game that scored a 74 or lower? That would be yellow or red, despite the fact that you think it's plenty awesome anyway. I'm going to be greedy and pick two. And Flacco Jones picked Beyond Two Souls, which had got a 70 on Metacritic, saying, I know it's pretty close to the border, but since it qualifies, I have to say that I thought the game was amazing and was, in fact, in my top five games played for the year it came out. I think it shares a lot of the same criticisms of The Order and that it doesn't have massive replay value and isn't terribly long. Still, I loved my experience, especially the great acting and story, and I'm sad that its failure means it probably won't get the rumored PS4 port that would give me an excuse to play it again. And then Flacco Jones mentions Game & Wario for Wii U, which got a 61. I love it. I think it should be at least a 75 for the multiplayer games alone, especially Sketch, which is basically Wii U Pictionary and worth the price by itself. The main game is fun, too, with everything I expect from a WarioWare game. Not a lot of responses in our forums. Maybe you guys want to chime in on our in our chat room right now over at live.vognetwork.com.
Since I didn't get the comment on that, I would say probably any of the Earth Defense Force games, because those are all...
Yeah.
Nice in the middle there.
Yeah. I had picked a few as well. I picked White Knight Chronicles, which I think got a 64 on Metacritic, but it's a level 5 game, which, you know, Fantasy Life, Ni No Kuni. I liked it more than most people did. I didn't think it was like A-plus game, but it was. I think it was better than a lot of people said it was, especially when you consider the sequel was both games, which was a really good value. And I also picked Every Extend Extra, which was a 74. So it was like right on the border, but I think Every Extend Extra should have been a game that was in the 90s. It was one of the PSP highlights for me, and I loved the version they had on Xbox 360 as well, Every Extend Extra Extreme. So anyway, thank you, Flacco, for that topic this week. And if you want to participate with some follow-up topics from this week's show, forums.vognetwork.com. Dark Sakura, any before I have you do your rapid fire news stories, any games you can think of that you love that critics did not love?
I can think of a lot of movies I love that critics hate. I like Xanadu.
Yeah, you should. That's true. That's true. I can think of a lot of those pretty easy too. It's a little harder with games.
I've liked a few RPGs that got kind of poo pooed as being too simplistic or too short. Like
Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. I'm
no.
Just kidding.
Do Prism, or what do we get it over here? Threads of Fate. I liked that game. There's been greatly lauded games that I didn't like. So it's a matter of taste, and no critic can tell you what to like. Don't judge me. I love what I love.
That's right.
They can bite my butt.
All right. Speaking, Dark Sakura, of you and what's going on, you actually are going to be departing the show a little early tonight because you have some IRL things going on.
Yeah.
So we're going to let you go ahead and do your rapid fire news here, and then we'll be saying bye to you for the night.
Yeah, too bad. But there are burritos in my future, maybe.
Wait, are you saying burritos are more important than this show?
No, I'm just saying burritos are at least as important as the show.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there is some news about Street Fighter V that's going to be a PS4 console exclusive, but also have a PC release. And it's going to be have a cross-platform play. But there is a character hinted at that's going to be in here is Nash from... Street Fighter Alpha. So that's happy.
Well, they showed off Charlie this week, wasn't it?
Well,
same Charlie Nash.
Nash Charlie.
Oh yeah,
same character.
I don't think it's a rumor anymore. They had gameplay of him.
Yeah,
there.
It's up there. The pictures are out.
Yep.
Now it was in Mexico, and they're teasing his No, I can't. I'm drawing.
Rolento?
No, not Rolento.
I want Rolento in the game.
God, the master of was
the main, Bison.
Bison, thank you. I was like, duh, I can see the face. Can't think of his name. But
the human chin.
The guy, the cape, Superman. No, no, Meg. No.
Or as if I do recall correctly, he was in Japan. He was Vega. So, next in news, we have a Blaze Blue game, but it's a rhythm game, and you can get it now. It actually is a mobile game called Eat Beat Dead Spike Son. So I might have to get that just because the name is absolutely hilarious. And then last but not least, there is a game jam going on, a month-long game jam called Jam for Leela that is dealing with trans issues. So I'm really, really looking forward to what's going to be coming out of this. There's a visual novel done by Laura Kate Dale from Destructoid. Lots of other neat stuff to be seen from that one, so I'm really looking forward to it. It should be almost done. There are 22 participating games that are available now. So that's it.
Leela, if I'm not mistaken, was the teen that took her own life and made the big
Tumblr.
Her
parents were being shits over.
Yeah, she made the big Tumblr post about it, and yeah, the parents really, really needed education, to put it lightly.
I'm just going to say plainly, her parents had access to the education. Her parents were shits.
Yeah.
Very deep fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. They are. I don't have a problem with a person being a fundamentalist, but they were
like the mom and Carrie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The moment that your fundamentalism impacts the life of another person so dramatically that it drives them to want to die, maybe you should stop and evaluate your beliefs. Just saying.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take it to a rough place, but, I think that shocking news really rallied people to want to, in case people might be wondering, like, why is this important? Why are we reporting on it? Because we as a society have a long way to go with trans issues still. Mm-hmm. Long way to go. Like, we're making a lot of progress with gay and lesbian. We're making progress. We're not there yet, but we're making a lot of progress. 34 states. When I've lost count of how many states, that's good. Even though
my home state.
Even though I would like
freaking
to say,
Alabama.
Even though I would like to say 50 states. But what happened with Leela regretfully shows we have a long way to go with our trans brothers and sisters. So yeah. That's why this is important, in case you were wondering.
There actually is a really good Tumblr out there, by the way, for people who are transitioning or even non-gender associated, called non-binary support. Mm-hmm. I follow them. They actually have really good information out, because I've tried to offer up support for people on that forum when I can. When it's one thing when you are sitting there with a friend of yours who is practically in tears because she could have been that person.
Right.
It really hits home. So, right. Yeah.
Anyway, to change the topic and move along here, Darksoccer, you are going to be on your way out. But as we always ask at the end of the show, but I'll ask you now, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I'm hungry and I really want to play Twinbee. Ikuma and I have been chatting about Twinbee.
Well, then you need to get a burrito and you need to play some Twinbee, but
and
not
then
tonight.
I have to go to bed.
You got to go to bed. Put that on your to-do list for tomorrow. Tomorrow, work, Twinbee.
I've got to work. Basically, my normal shift is like 11:30 to 8:30.
Uh-huh.
And my shift this week is 7 to 4.
Fun.
So guess whose sleep cycle is going to be completely uprooted and turned on its end?
Well, I'm going to the East Coast, so the same thing will happen to me, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but you're not going to be at work.
I'm also 7 to 4. Woo! That's this week, too. But I don't sleep anyway, so that's okay.
No. And I'm really not trying to complain. I love my job. I just hate waking up early.
Sure, so. I understand. All right, let's go on to some more rapid-fire news. Have a good night, Darksoccer, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Loki, your rapid-fire news tonight.
Okay. So this is kind of cool. I'm a pretty big fan of Terry Kavanaugh, and they've got a brand new game that he's making. Hopefully, it's uber hard as well. It's called Grab Them by the Eyes, And it's basically play a street food vendor named Jay who must resort to buying an endless wave of ever flashier signs in order to attract attention for your business. That sounds hilarious. I guess they're saying that it's like a almost like a card game. And the signs have various texts, colors, borders, and effects. And each of those elements contribute to some number of customers to the day's totals. So I do want to check this out. Not sure when it's supposed to be released, though, but it looks pretty awesome.
It's on the web, right?
Oh, it is so on its website.
I think it's
I thought
there.
It was something he's selling.
No.
Okay, well, yeah. Go check it out, then.
And don't forget about the sequel, Grab Them by the Ass.
Weren't you leaving?
Yeah.
He's a talented guy.
Yes,
so
there you go.
You
can check it out, terrycavanaughgames.com/grabthembytheeyes/. And that Grab Them by the Eyes is all one word.
Awesome.
That's awesome. That sounds like a premise of like a funny cartoon, so I'd be down with that. And then, you know, one of the things that people kind of hated about Resident Evil Revelations 2 was the fact that, you know, the PC version got released, and then they're all, oh, hey, by the way, there's some features that we cut out, but we didn't tell you about that until after the game was released. One of those features was local co-op, and thanks to modders, and this is sad that we live in a day and age now where companies can't fix their games, but modders have to fix them for them. They've added a mod to actually allow for split-screen co-op. The only thing is right now is it's not part of the raid mode. It's just in the local story mode. And also apparently you have to use game pads, but that's still pretty cool, and I guess they're still working on that. If you want to check it out, you can actually go find it in the Steam community forums for the game. And then lastly, Payday 2 is getting a cool cameo character for their game, including Jacket from Hotline Miami 2. And you're going to be able to, by purchasing the game on Steam, you'll be able to unlock stuff in Payday 2, including the Jacket character, also, you know, themed masks and weapons. So that's pretty sweet. And of course, you know,
will it have the sweet music?
I don't know if it's about the sweet music. Hopefully, because that'd be pretty sweet. I really need to go back and play that game. I have it like on a bunch of different platforms.
Hurry before the sequel's out.
I know. I need to. I'll make that a point this week to go play that game. That and Civ 5, because I have it installed on my system now.
Nice. You got to get to Beyond Earth, too, because Sid Meier's Starships got dated. It's like the week after next or something like that. And it's only $14.99, so it must be kind of a scaled-down game, but I'm excited to check it out, that's for sure.
But yeah, you can check that out. It's a pretty awesome pre-order bonus, I guess, if you have both of those games.
All right, moving on with some other news that I have for you guys, including some updates with Forza Horizon 2. There's going to be a standalone expansion called Forza Horizon 2 Presents Fast and Furious. Could that have anything to do with the new movie coming out pretty soon? Probably. But the expansion will be free from March 27th through April 10th. So
I like free.
Yeah. Well, motivation to be an Xbox owner now, too.
And it's standalone.
Yes, it is. It will cost $10 after that, just so you know. Once you download it during the free period, you still have it free of charge. Ludacris will be arriving in the game with that.
Well, also too, even if you like, if you have an Xbox 360, but say you don't have an Xbox One, you can always download that online, and then you still have it in your library. Because that's what I've done with all the Xbox Live Game with Gold games, even though I don't have an Xbox One yet.
Also, Shovel Knight will be coming out on PlayStation 4, Vita, and PlayStation 3. We knew that this was coming from, I think, the PlayStation Experience is when they announced that Shovel Knight would make its way over there. But now we have a date. April 21st is the date. PlayStation Plus members will be able to pick this game up for $13.49, a little discount there, $15 after that. There will be a boss battle with Kratos in the game, so a lot of people will be checking it out for that fact alone, and to be able to play with that pretty awesome PlayStation 4
controller.
Another
game I have owned, but I haven't played
shame,
yet.
Shame.
Damn it.
All right.
I was almost going to buy more games this week, too, for no apparent reason.
And get this, a Sega Capcom crossover comic, Worlds Unite, That's right. Archie Comics creating Worlds Unite, and it's a crossover between Sega and Capcom, and lots of characters, including some we haven't seen in a very long time.
And Mega Man, which...
Yeah, Mega Man, for
ironically,
one.
Ironically, you know.
Get this, though, from Sega, Billy Hatcher, Alex Kidd, it's pretty rad, Knights, from Capcom, Nina from Breath of Fire, Beautiful Joe, we miss him.
That's what I'm saying. You get a fighting game that has these characters all together... You release it on consoles, yeah. People buy the shit out of it.
Sadly, awesome. It is a comic, not a game.
I understand that.
I know. I'm just saying it should be a game, right?
Why not?
Why not?
It's way more interesting than any of the Sonic games that they put out recently. Well, they had that Sonic Mega Man crossover a while back. I mean, let's do something with that. I mean, come on.
All right, let's get into the Fugle question of the week. Every week we ask a question of our Facebook and Google Plus communities, and we read some of our favorite answers here on the show. All right, for tonight's Fugle question of the week, we asked you guys about this whole Guitar Hero Rock Band situation. What do you think of the news? The Guitar Hero may be on its way back from a long sleep this year. Do you think the revival of these plastic instrument franchises is a good thing, or are they better left in our memory? We had a few people answer over on Facebook, so let me read some of those answers here. Fifth Dream saying, I missed out the first time these games were around, so I'm excited they may be coming back because I'd like to play them this time around. Well, that seems as good of a reason as any, right? It has been several years. If you think about it, you know, there's maybe like 20-year-olds that were only like 14 when this game was last
round. I know. This is awesome that music games are coming back, Konami.
Ed S. replies and says, does that mean the Rock Band charity event in San Francisco will come back? Well, we got to place a phone call and see if that's going to happen. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. I sure hope so. I'd love to go to that again. That was a great cause.
Well, at the very least, they have new DLC, so I mean, that's something.
That's something. Andy R. saying, I'm all for a new Rock Band, and I trust Harmonix to do it right, but I hope if Activision decides to weigh in again, they do it in a way that doesn't kill the genre. DJ Rama S. says, with the surge of rhythm games on mobile devices, I see a revival of music games on next-gen platforms is quite exciting. I call bass... Ooh. I have a really remind me to tell you my crazy tinfoil hat thought after. Okay.
All right.
Usurping Slurpee said, but DJ Rama just totally made a spark go off in my head. Usurping Slurpee replied and said, I never play any Guitar Hero games and I don't intend to. They don't look appealing to me, but if developers want to make them and consumers want to purchase them, then that's a good thing. Variety in games benefits the entire industry. There should be something for everyone. Well, that's a really good way of looking at it. That's a great way to say, I'm not a fan, but for those that are, have at it. Bryce H. says, I think it's great they're coming back. I can't tell you how many times I heard a new song on the radio and thought to myself, man, this would be fun to play on Guitar Hero or a Rock Band. So I'm super excited about this news. Ragenator says, I've always thought the Guitar Hero, mainly 3 and World Tour, were decent enough, but I've always preferred Rock Band 1 and 2. Either way, I'd like to see them come back, especially Rock Band. I just hope that now I'm a PC gamer, there'll be a PC version. Renee A. replied and said, I think this could be a good thing, but I'm hoping there will be more variety in the songs available from a variety of genres. And SHO and Hunter Matt on Facebook says, while I'm extremely stoked about playing music games on new hardware, part of me is a little apprehensive about it as well. I'm worried that enough time has passed in people's minds and that there will be enough innovation in both series to make it worth it for people. We're going to go over to Google Plus as well and check out the answers over there, although I think we just had a couple of answers because it's not quite as trafficked on Google Plus. Regretfully for Google. And ActDef saying on Google, as long as they don't oversaturate the market like they did last gen, I don't mind. Of course, I'm probably going to give my support to Harmonix rather than Activision on this one. And lastly, Redertainment says the reason the plastic music genre collapsed wasn't because of an oversaturation of games. It was because of an oversaturation of expensive, incompatible plastic instruments. If they can do something to address that, I'd love to see these games make a comeback. All right, I mentioned tinfoil hat. You ready? So there was a word in Rama's post, something that also has changed in the past 6 years or so since the last time we saw these games. That's not just social. Mobile. Now, thinking about the Jackbox games and even like SingStar, what do they allow you to do? Use your mobile phone as the controller. They don't sell SingStar microphones anymore. Well, they might, but SingStar has an app on the iPhone that you use.
That kind of works just for, you know, like a microphone and stuff. I'm not sure if that would be... I mean, that'd be cool for the microphone
part. But wasn't
there
singing? in Rock Band.
There was.
Wasn't part of the problem about all the harmony and everything. It was like, God, I don't have enough microphones. Imagine if now your cellular phone can be a microphone. And it'll be like, bang, one plastic instrument solved right there. So you don't even have to buy an instrument. If all you want to do is sing, you can just buy the bass game and use your mobile phone. Assuming, of course, that you have a mobile phone. But it's safe to say that enough people do that they could probably get away with that. Just throwing it out there. And then I don't know what kind of instrument you could have on mobile. Maybe a...
Well, I'm not even worried about that so much because they've got...
I don't know, like a freaking mambo.
It won't work very well, yeah, as far as like instruments
on mobile. It really won't.
So, I mean, I don't know. Any instruments on mobile aside from singing, we're getting into Wii Music territory there, and it's not where you want to go with that.
Oh God, I wonder. I gotta ask if Bobby's still listening. Bobby, how would you feel if the entire drum kit was available on an iPad where you could just play with your fingers, pat 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 pat? Would that be something you'd be excited about? And I ask this to all the drummers out there: would you be excited about that, or would that make you kind of twitch? Like, no, please don't. Because well, that's the only other thing I can see on mobile.
The very least, he's sitting pretty nice because he has a MIDI set, and so all he has to do is just wait for them to put out an updated MIDI control or that. But whereas I have console exclusive peripherals, that's not so good.
Hmm. There it is. All right, some folks in chat wanting Accordion Hero, Weird Al Accordion Hero.
I would love for a Weird Al exclusive version. Like, give Weird Al the Beatles treatment.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says no. I can just imagine that little JPEG with Grumpy Cat. No, but then again, Re-Rave was kind of fun. So, trying to see the silver lining in my crazy tinfoil hat thought there. All right. There you go. There's the Fugle question of the week. Let's get back into some more news, Loki.
That kind of reminded me. Is anyone still giving a shit about Fantasia?
Yeah, I think it came out and people
But that's it. It came out, and that's the last I remember of it.
Well, that's what usually happens with video games.
Is there
Loki?
Like any DLC for it? I mean, are they supporting it? It's like kind of, I don't know. It kind of just dropped off the face.
I think
of the
I remember stories about DLC. I think there has been a DLC for that game.
I don't know.
It's just probably, with the Xbox having distanced itself from Kinect and the Kinect being very important to the experience of Fantasia, I think, unfortunately, and we all knew this was going to happen, it kind of muted Fantasia's arrival a little bit. That doesn't make the game any worse.
True.
So, and Bobby Blackwolf saying, I enjoyed Fantasia, and they released DLC songs and DLC remixes. So they did extend that a little bit.
All right.
There you go.
Anyways, Games with Gold. So for March, they got actually a pretty decent lineup. If you have an Xbox One, your game of the month is going to be Rayman Legends, which is pretty sweet. And iDarb, if you haven't picked that up already, so please do. Also, up until the 15th for Xbox 360, you'll be able to download Tomb Raider. And then starting on March 16th, BioShock Infinite. So I'd say overall, that's a pretty solid month. So check this out. Ironically, though, we're already in March, and we still haven't heard of the lineup for PlayStation Plus. That's kind of a head-scratcher right there.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to go on there. What games are we getting?
Yeah, you got to wonder if they're going to pull some big rabbit out of the hat, like Drive Club, fucking finally.
Or Knack. I mean, they're practically even that way already. I mean, I don't know. Could see that.
Yeah, I was talking about this the other day with Flacco Jones, like what could the games be? And I was kind of saying, this is probably the month we finally get Knack. Like, we all know it's coming.
Knack is going to be
a matter of time.
Coming, yeah. I can't think of what other, like, really, like, I don't know, like, unless we start getting to, like, Angry Birds or something like that, like, a really shitty PS4 game, like, a game that had no business being on PlayStation 4 type thing.
Yeah.
Drive Club at some point soon. Maybe now's the time for Drive Club.
Maybe. Maybe they just don't want to promise it until they're, like, absolutely sure those network issues are not going to fuck everything up. Because, I mean, the retail release of that game got so screwed. But this is a chance to reboot it, in a way, get people excited about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mentioned earlier in the show that this game is showing some really strong legs through its DLC, and that is Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U. I got to admit, you know, when it first came out, I was kind of like, there's a lot of other games I want to play right now. This is kind of going to slip by. But the more and more stuff that keeps happening to this game and the way they've really given this game legs, because I sort of thought Nintendo would kind of just let it go, but they really haven't. They've been supporting it. And here we go again. Ganon got his own separate mode coming into the game. It's releasing March 12th in North America, and it's part of the season pass for the game, or you can get it by itself for $3. It's part of the Boss Pack DLC. But this is what's also awesome about it, is that apparently in this pack, a giant chicken. That's right.
It's Pojo all over
Kuroko,
again.
You can actually play in that game. There's a boss rush mode. So if you want to do that, you can do that. And then a free game update coming as well that will address load times, raise the level cap to 255, and have the apothecary carry mixtures that cause the weak point gauge to deplete more quickly, increase attacks against giant bosses, and absorb magic from bosses.
I gotta say, that game is really turning out to be a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I thought it was going to be okay, but it's actually, they're supporting it quite well.
Now you know Bobby's jumping in here with a jab at you, Loki. What? I thought Nintendo didn't understand modern gaming and we're dying and can't be sustained.
Yeah, but this is Koei that's, developing this game, not Nintendo, so.
All right.
That's a little bit different. They understand DLC and their games a little more than Nintendo.
Anyhow, you know what? I'm sure a lot of it, too, is to keep the Zelda hype going for Majora's Mask on 3DS. And then, of course, the big Zelda Wii U, which will be a definite head spinner this holiday season, I'm sure. So, let's see. Darkstalker was going to talk about this, but I guess I'm going to talk about it instead. It had to do with Mortal Kombat as well, which her classic game of the week, of course, was Mortal Kombat. But as you know, Mortal Kombat X is on the way out. Brutalities were revealed for the game. There's supposed to be a whole lot of them. And then another new trailer came out that shows some new characters, including Melina. Yay, one of my favorites. I love Melina.
Well, I think Melina is supposed to be like the main boss of the game now.
Oh, interesting.
What, the trailer was. So.
That's the story trailer.
Yeah, so. And I was like, there's a story?
Yeah. Also revealed in the trailer, daughter of Jax, Jacqueline Briggs, son of Kenshi and Kung Jin, descendant of Kung Lao, Takashi Takeda. Now, I didn't catch if these characters were playable or if they are just part of the story. I guess they are. They are showing on a confirmed playable list. Jacqueline Briggs is there, Takashi Takeda, and Kung Jin are all on that list. So I guess that is pretty cool. I guess they are playable after all. So that's kind of cool. That's going to be a lot of characters in the game. The only one that's not on the playable list is Melina. So maybe you're right in the whole, like, she's the big, big boss or something. So she's not on the playable list.
Kind of weird. You'd think there would be, like, some new person.
Yeah. So there you go. Some updates there with Mortal Kombat X, which, although it may be a bit too violent for me, I'll probably have to check it out anyway. I think I'm going to end up buying it anyway. I have a weak point.
I want to know what the bonus characters are going to be. Is what I want to know. What are we looking at as DLC characters? Because that'd be kind of interesting. Can we get Deadpool?
Maybe Ash from Evil Dead is a lot of the rumors.
I hope so.
Or Jason would make a lot of sense after Freddy. Who knows?
That would be pretty sweet. I don't know. All right. So there was a Sonic 3D title that never came out. It was teased at E3 way back, but now, thanks to some fans of Sonic, they have made it possible to play said game because they've ported it over to PC. And this is Sonic Extreme. It was originally supposed to be a Saturn game. It never was finished, but now it's playable on PC. And it kind of reminds me of, like, Gex, but, Sonic. And it's really weird. I mean, even in the trailer that they had for the E3, the actual official trailer, and then the PC trailer, they have the rings there, but it doesn't look like he's collecting them. He's just, like, going right through
them. Now he just swings from them, or he just kind of,
he just clips right through them because of reasons. I don't know. It looks okay, I guess. I don't know. It kind of looks like a lot of the Saturn games did back then. Just very, you know, depth 3D type mm-hmm. stuff in there, and not so kind of like 3D platforming, I guess. But you can check that out, and I'm trying to see where you can download.
Hacker's going to hack, but in this case, or modder's going to mod, or whatever the case may be. But in this case, to allow us all to play a game that we may never have played otherwise, right?
Yeah, you can check it out. The Sonic Retro forums had links to the game, so you could check that out there. Still better than probably the last Sonic game that they put out. Still better than Sonic Boom.
Still better than
At
that.
Least his proportions look correct in this picture, as opposed to lanky legs Sonic there.
All right, well, Disney is at work on a new game for the Wii U. A character artist and 3D artist shared images of a Disney project that she was working on for the Wii U. They're medieval fantasy characters. These characters were shown with permission by Carrie Mail, actually showed off these images. We just don't really know exactly what it's all about. What this medieval fantasy game could be, because it doesn't tie into like an existing Disney franchise, or at least it sure doesn't look like it. Disney is at work with something for the Wii U that's in a medieval fantasy setting that doesn't tie into one of their existing properties, it appears. Who knows? So that's really all
Tron
I got.
Tron Medieval.
Tron Medieval.
Remember, they said that there's a new Tron game coming out. What was it that one artist is?
I will point out, though, these drawings, they're nice. They're very good looking. But they're perfect for little figurines, don't you think? Do you think that's something that Disney might be double-dipping in?
A Disney Infinity RPG type thing?
Oh, no. Why even be tied to Disney Infinity? A completely separate character collection game. At least Disney can print all the toys to meet demand.
You know what? And to be fair, yes, Disney actually... As far as from what I remember dealing with, you know, Activision and Disney, mm-hmm. when you buy figures from Activision, they're all fucking randomly assorted. So forget it. Oh, I'm out of, you know, X figure. Well, fuck you. You're going to get random figures until you get whatever you want. Whereas Disney, it's like, oh, hey, we need more Mickey. Okay, cool. We can order some more Mickey. You know, instead of, fuck you, you're going to have to order some random assortments until you maybe get Mickey or not. You know, that's kind of Activision's take on the whole thing.
I'm laughing because Dark Tetsuya is accusing me of baiting you. Maybe a little. Hitstun in chat says, Epic Mickey 3? Question mark? Doesn't really...
Doesn't look anything Mickey.
I mean, anything's possible, but it doesn't... I kind of feel like Epic Mickey's kind of done for after the second game as well.
Yeah,
so, anything's possible. All right, anyhow, let's go to the mailbag, because every week you guys send us emails, and we take a moment to read them here on the program. Participate at orangeloungerated.com is the place to send those emails, and we will read our favorites here on the air. We have two emails to read tonight. Obviously, with Dark Sakura not here, somebody's got to fill in. So I volunteer as tribute. First email tonight from Redertainment, who says, Howdy, I'm curious as to why Sky reacted so negatively to Loki's thought from last week that Nintendo would sell the amiibo trading cards in a blind pack. Sky's reaction struck me as weird, given that it's already common practice for trading card companies to sell their cards in blind packs. Go down to your local place that sells trading cards, assuming you can find such an establishment, and you can find row after row of trading cards in blind packs from many different companies across many different media properties, ranging from sports to TV shows to whatever the fuck Duck Dynasty is. Also, well, before we get to the second half of the email, let me take a minute to respond to the first half. Here's the difference in my opinion. With the trading card packs and those types of games you're talking about, that's all of it. That's the whole niche behind it. Like a game like Magic the Gathering, that, you know, some cards are going to be rarer than others, and that maintains the balance of the game, right? But with Amiibo, you want a certain character because that's the character you want to level in the game. And I don't know, I kind of feel like, you know, when you own the base game itself, you can play pretty much any character you want. Granted, there are a few unlocks, but anybody can unlock those the same way. So therefore, there's not that same rarity level. Whereas if you have these blind packs, then I worry you are going to have some of that rarity level. And it would be, imagine how freaking frustrating it would be to buy a blind pack and then get a card for Mario. Now, not that Mario is a bad character or whatever, but the Mario amiibo is not hard to find. If you want Mario or Link, gee, Nintendo doesn't seem to have a problem making enough of those to go around for the most part. But do you see the difference there? The rarity factor kind of comes into play. I feel like in the trading cards you're talking about, that's the entire game, whereas these are enhancements to an existing game. That's the difference to me. I hope that makes sense. I mean, I just, if I'm going to go out and buy one of these cards or whatever, I want the one I want. I'm not fucking gambling to get Ness, who I want, or something like that. Does that make sense? All right. Second half of the email from Entertainment. Also, why is it laughable that people could get together to trade Amiibo trading cards when people already get together to trade other kinds of trading cards? I remember as a kid getting 6 basketball cards from a friend of mine in exchange for a card with Reggie Miller on it. Not a Reggie Miller card, a card with Reggie Miller on it. I'm thinking a kid could make it out big, capitalizing on Nintendo fans' blind obsession over Marth. Finally, who the fuck is Marth? Stay plaque, Redertainment, trainer. Fire Emblem, look it up. I'm not okay with that whole like imbalance and rarity. And now you're talking about kids too? I don't know. Again, when that is the game, it's kind of a different thing. But when it's an accessory to an existing game, I think it's different. I don't know.
Well, they have that in Disney. That's how they do it with Disney Infinity's power.
And I don't like it there either, just to be clear. And I haven't bought a one. So I'm just at least I'm consistent, right? So I don't like it there either in Disney Infinity. So, all right. Moving on. Let's see. Going to the next email, which I just closed the freaking mailbag. This is why Jamie handles it, people. This is why I don't do it. All right. Hello. Can I do this here while I pull up the email bag? Help me out here, Loki.
All right. Well, let's talk about how much I hate Amiibo some more. No, I just... It's cool if they're collectible figures, but it's not what they're selling them as.
Oh, we're good. All right. Anyway, second email from Martin from Belgium, if I'm not mistaken. Who says, hello, OLR. Hope y'all are doing well. I had issues getting my gamepad to work with the game Grow Home. It took 1.5 hours, a bunch of driver reinstalls, and a shady EXE file, but eventually it worked. This kind of stuff makes me realize PC gaming is never going to be as mainstream as consoles are, or some things will seriously need to change. I've been a PC gamer for 16 years or so, and it has been like this as long as I can remember. Nothing ever just works. Do you think the Steam boxes are a viable solution to this problem of standardization? Let's stop and answer that question. Do you think the Steam boxes are a viable method of that standardization? I think that's part of what they want to accomplish. But remember, there's not just one Steam box. There's many different Steam boxes. And if I'm not mistaken, the way things were when we last heard of them, they were a little on the pricey side too. So I
don't even know if they're still coming out with them.
Yeah, it seems odd. We haven't heard anything about it in a while, huh?
Yeah, I would think GDC would be a good time to hear about that.
So I'm going to actually say no. But what's interesting is that some of these VR headsets we're hearing about coming out, I think, are an attempt to kind of standardize that, even though everybody has their own.
Well, weird, I think there is still some standardization with, you know, gamepads nowadays. It seems like everything works with like the Xbox 360 controller.
True.
And even with like Steam, you know, in like big picture mode and stuff, I think that they have stuff to kind of have some sort of broad controller support. And I know with their Steam controller that's something that's going to eventually happen as well. So maybe they're moving towards that. I think that's one of the things that with consoles, you have a lot more restrictions as far as, okay, your game must be able to support these, you know, controllers 100%, and it's like testing, I think. You know, and how do you not test your game like Grow Home or something with controllers and not have that work like right from the get-go? And I don't know if this is like a new controller that you're using now or if this is something that worked on other games, but for some reason this game's giving you shit. It could very well be a bug in the very, you know, like in a version of the game, because, you know, I had that with one of the, I Am Bread or something like that, is early access, and they had some controller support issues, so then they fixed it.
Moving on with the email. Or is streaming gaming the future, where the firepower is in the cloud, and we play on any device connected to the internet?
Once again, even like the Amiibos and other technology that they're really pushing, you know, for the use of, I need to see a good example of what this means to me as far as like really good gameplay, because you know how they had Titanfall. I want to see what the difference was Titanfall without cloud support and Titanfall with cloud support. I mean, why it seemed like, you know, to me, I didn't notice anything like, whoa, this is so much better than if it weren't always connected online.
I sort of think lag is going to be an issue for a very, very, very long time until they can really, you know, minimize that to, you know, such a negligible amount that games will still flow very easy. I think streaming gaming will grow more and more, and we're going to see more and more of it in the coming years, but I don't see it 100% taking over, because I just feel like there's always going to be that lag issue otherwise, and some games won't work, period. Some games will, some games won't. It's getting better, but it's not 100%.
Well, my problem also, too, is, like, aside from, like, Titanfall, you know, some of these other games that have said, oh, we need the cloud for X and, you know, Y reasons, like SimCity, and then you find out, oh, no, they really didn't need that. That was just an excuse so that you could be connected online, and it was, like, another form of DRM.
And that's, like, and then when you break trust like that, like, gamers are going to think you're full of shit for years to come. That takes a long time to erase, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyhow. Also, Martin continues saying, I'm from Belgium. Boobies are not that big a deal here, but they are still awesome. I want to say we talked about this in last week's episode. I don't remember what the freaking topic was, but we mentioned how nudity is not a big deal in other countries. But here it's like, oh, my God, you can't show that on television. Martin also says, we have amazing chocolate, and I will send you some if you want. I know the guys at GiantBomb.com get mailed stuff from fans all the time, and I think you guys deserve something as well. Well, thank you very much. What do they got that we don't got here on Orange Lounge Radio?
A giant bomb.
Money? I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Well, soon we'll have chocolate. That'd be awesome.
Access to PAX.
Yeah. Fuck you. You are such a little shit. All right. You know what? Bobby gets free reign tonight to just razz every little thing that comes out of your mouth. All right. Martin continues, if you give me an address, I will send you some, but I understand if you don't want to give your address to random strangers on the internet. No problem. I'm going to email you Loki's address. All right. Keep up.
I don't mind getting random things.
But then here's my problem is that Nelly will be like, ooh, somebody sent me chocolate.
She will eat it. The problem is you just have to send boring chocolate. If it's fancy chocolate, she'll eat it. If it's like milk chocolate, oh, she isn't touching that. Or white chocolate, that might as well be like kryptonite. She's like, forget it.
We'll get you an address off air, Martin. I really, really appreciate that. That's awesome. SG100 Matt suggesting set up a VOG PO box for all of the candy. See, like, I'm actually thinking, like, okay, maybe we should just get a little PO box. Like, how expensive can it be? Like, even actually, VOG Network has an address, but Bobby will get the chocolate if you send it there, and I can't have that. So I need the chocolate.
You just need the VOG West office.
We need a post office box for VOG West or something. I don't know. Actually, I got to say this. There's been a lot of you guys out there very kind to offer. Like some folks are like, can I send you something? Can I send money? Which is always like, wow, like people would actually like pay us to do this stuff. I've given thought to the whole, like, should we do a Kickstarter? Should we do a Patreon type of thing? But I have some reservations, for one with Kickstarter. I don't ever want to give the perception that you need $30,000 to do a podcast, 'cause you don't. If you have a desire to do it, and you're willing to use some secondhand tools and maybe not sound optimal, but work towards that as you progress with your new hobby, I think you should be able to do that. So I'm not comfortable with the idea of Kickstarter. Patreon, I'm iffy on it. I understand some other shows do it, and this is a decision shows have to make for themselves. My only concern with something like Patreon is, A, they get a slice of the money whenever you do something like that. I think there's a lot of pressure in the Patreon kind of community to like, well, if you're donating to this, why aren't you donating to me as well, or this as well, and this and that.
On top of that, like, a lot of them like, well, if you donate to us, then you get exclusive content, and then you have to make exclusive content.
Exactly, and I kind of want to just focus on this 3-hour show that we're doing. So that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. And just the fact that, you know, we do this for fun and we do this, you know, because you guys show up and participate and send us emails and offer to send us chocolate and things like that. Like, that's our motivation. Like, don't get me wrong. Money would help because we do pay out of pocket. Like, you know, it does cost money to run the Vogue Network server. But you know what? When all is said and done, it's about as much money as it is if I were to go join a bowling league or, you know, something that would be fun for me to do once a week, right? You know, everybody's got their hobby that they pay money for. So, you know, I don't know. We're thinking about it. We'll see what we come up with in the coming weeks. I'm hoping sooner rather than later we will have merchandise available via VogueNetwork.com. I don't think I'm, like, ruining any surprises saying this. I mean, this is a very logical route to take, where we'll have, like, T-shirts, buttons, stickers, those sorts of things available where, you know, if you're a fan of the show, you can buy those to not only support the show, but then you're getting something in return and it's tangible and you have it and, you know, that's what you're getting and you can use it to help spread the word, as we say at the end of every show. So that's more the idea that I would lean towards right now. All right. Anyhow, keep up the great show. It's nice to be able to participate. All the best. And Martin from Belgium clarifying, yes, it is pronounced more or less like Martin, although saying that to Jamie. And sadly, I'm not Jamie, but I'm sure she's happy that you thought of her. Anyway, there it is, the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you would like to send us an email for a future week. Let's get to the FUs of the week. Every week we get a little bit angsty on this show. Why? Well, because I guess we have anger issues. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, this is bad. Here is justice. Here is punishment. Here. This is fucked up. Loki, why don't you start?
F you to restaurant store hours. I mean, I don't understand what it is about, like, all these really good restaurants or places that I want to eat at having limited hours on Sundays. I mean, or even just being closed. I don't get it. Like, I wanted to get... We went to the place yesterday, and they make fucking awesome cheese steaks and garlic fries. They're literally the best garlic fries I've ever had. And I could just eat a ton of them. And I wanted to go there. But they close at 3 fucking o'clock. And I just can't make it over there in time to get food. Or Nippon, which is the local teriyaki place. They close at fucking 4 o'clock every day. I can't stop on my way home from work to get food because they're fucking closed. They used to be open to 8 o'clock. But now they're closed at 4 for some damn reason. And they're not open on Sundays. So, what the hell, people? Come on. People need to eat on Sundays as well.
All right. My FU of the week, I'm going to keep it pretty simple because there's been a lot of good stuff going on, so I can't be upset. But my FU of the week would go to crises that show up at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. That shit has to stop. On a Friday afternoon, I don't need everything burning down, OMG, WTF, BBQ. Like, that is when I'm slipping into weekend mode. I don't want to deal with crisis at 4 o'clock on a Friday. Can we not have that happen anymore? Thank you. That'd be my FU of the week. Just a couple more news stories for you guys, and then we're going to open up the Skype line for your calls. 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. But first, Loki.
So there's a brand new Kickstarter for another franchise you may remember. And coming from Human Nature Studios, Toe Jam and Earl, Back in the Groove. It's a brand new Toe Jam and Earl game with kind of this, they're calling it a retro comic book style. Yeah, retro comic style. I don't know. They're looking for $400,000, and they've almost reached the halfway point already with 25 days left to go. I got to be honest. I don't like the art style at all in this. I think it's really fucking ugly, but... whatever. It's kind of a cross between like a Saturday morning like comic. Like a lot of the characters are all 2D, but it's like in this 3D environment that really does clashes with everything else, and that's just kind of my problem there. But hey, Toe Jam and Earl. So if you're, you know, a Toe Jam and Earl fan, maybe you want to, you know, back that. They're going to have four player co-op. It's going to be on PC, Windows, Mac, and Linux, and they're looking at consoles as well. One of the cool things about it, though, is they're going to allow you to kind of chat with each other, so you can actually, you know, type messages, whatever you want, to each other as you're playing the game. I don't know. It's interesting, I guess. If you want to copy the game, it's going to cost you $15, and you also get your name in the credits.
What do you think about a Toe Jam and Earl reboot?
I feel like the
iron was hot on that a long time ago. Time has passed. A lot of times.
Here's my problem. Okay, and I understand this is probably early in development stuff. But I got to be honest, it just does not look good. Like, I if you're going to stick with it, do either like the comic book style and leave like the rest alone, or like, you know, do it all the same style, or just don't do it at all. Because they have all the sprites in are 2D, but it's like 2D in like a 3D world. So it looks really strange. It looks like they're billboarded, is what they call it, I guess. And
it doesn't bug me so much.
It looks really weird. It looks like a cheap ripoff, but...
But maybe if they get the money, they can make something that looks better. You know, we'll see.
I'm all for it. I think a cartoon style, like, all done in that style without the, you know, kind of shaded background would look fine. But it, I don't know. We'll see. I hope it ends up working out. Because I know even though there's, you know, some well-known franchises that do Kickstarters and stuff, sometimes they run into problems. And I would not like to see this be one of those.
All right, well, our last story tonight has to do with a different type of video game. And this is one I know I've talked about on OLR before, but Alan and I play a game together that Google is kind of the head of. One of their side companies, Niantic Labs, runs a game called Ingress. And I noticed Google's been pushing Ingress more and more lately. They have, like, YouTube commercials now.
What the hell is Ingress?
It's actually, like, an AR game. Well, sort of. I don't know. It's a game you play in the real world, but it's like GPS. But, let me... You know how there's a park not far from the house, right? Yeah. Without telling all the listeners where I live. That's pretty general. There's a park not far from the house, right? Okay, so the sign that says welcome to that park is what is known as a portal. And so if you're walking around on your iPhone or your Android device, obviously, because it's a Google game that was on Android first, and they brought it over to iOS. If I'm in front of that sign or within about a good, probably like 25 meters from that sign, so not a huge distance, but close enough, I can hack that portal. And hacking that portal will give me items, which I can then use to build on new portals or destroy portals, because there's a player versus player element to this. You have the blue team, which is the team you don't want to play on, the bad people. I'm just kidding. There's going to be resistance players listening who are going to be like, shut up.
And then the gold team?
No. No, it's blue and green, actually. So I play on the green side, which is the enlightened. There's this whole backstory behind it about how there's exotic matter out there, and the enlightened want to use it to progress humanity and so forth, but the resistance
believes... How do you hack these portals? Do you push a button that says hack the portal?
Yes, you push a button that says hack, but you can also hold the button down and then do a mini game called glyph hacking, where you get shown different glyphs and you trace them and you get more stuff. Okay, you know how like Foursquare was supposed to be a fucking game when it came out and it wasn't? It's just like, oh, check into places. This is an actual game. And I see that judgy look you're giving me right now. Hold on, I'll tell you what. People get like really into this game.
Yeah, I can see that.
People get really into this game, and there's these big events that they will have locally and so forth. I haven't been able to go to one, but they had a huge event here in Sacramento where people were coming up from LA and the Bay Area, and it just happened to be on a weekend where I was traveling, so I couldn't do it. But they have these big events and so on. You know, it is a Google sponsored game. But, you know, people get super into these games, and it gets me up and moving, Loki. That's the important part.
Okay.
So, like, I will actually go down and walk to the park. So when some smurf, that's what we call the blue players, when some smurf comes over and decides to stomp the park, I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm going to walk over there and take my shit back. So it gets me up and moving and walking. So, and now, and the reason why I bring this up is because the creators of Ingress and Google are actually going to be incorporating this into, that's right, the Android Wear Watch. So the Android Watch will allow you to play Ingress. So, and they're showing some concept things about this where on the watch, if you walk near a portal on the watch, you could actually do the hacking of the portal. And I'm assuming you could also do some of the attacking. That mobile interface is going to be really weird to use and probably a little slow. But the fact that, you know, you don't even need to whip your phone out, you can be very subtle in hacking portals as you go by. Pretty cool there. And I know there'll be some local players who are really into that. Did I mention, by the way, Loki, you can do missions as well? That's a new thing they put in the game. So, like, because a lot of the portals are like historic landmarks or places of public interest. So people will create missions. Mm-hmm. Like one that I did in Seattle was around the Science Center, where you go to the Space Needle and hack the Space Needle, and then you go to EMP and hack the EMP. And so it like gets you exploring all these places to make sure you've seen everything there, like that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. I like it.
Okay.
Don't judge me. And soon I'll be able to do it from my watch if I were to get an Android watch, although I'm not really planning on getting the watch. Anyway, Act Deft in our chat room says, Smurfs and Green Giants. Actually, they call us frogs. Well, we call ourselves frogs, and we call the people leveling tadpoles. So there's that. Black Wolf in chat says, I installed Ingress and joined the green team. Correct. You made the correct choice. Rama's also Team Enlightened. Hitstun says, oh shit, we might need to go turn Boston green. Wow, you all made good choices in the chat room. No, I know there are OLR listeners who are resistant, who I am sure are fuming right now. Let's not forget, though, at the end of the day, if there wasn't an opponent in the game, there would be no game to play. So, and part of the reason we joined Enlightened here in South, well, actually, I just joined it because it was green. But part of the reason we stick with it and don't flip is because green is like really the underdogs here in SAC. Like blue really dominates this town. Like you go to Folsom, it's all fucking blue over there. You go to Roseville, it's all fucking blue over there. And Alan and I actually kind of like being on the underdog team. It's kind of fun. So, you know, even though we never win, actually we did win the last cycle. So it happens. What?
Okay.
Go to spot
and push button. Woo!
You are into
We're hacking the planet, man! Yeah. Woo! Push the button. Trace the line! Woo! It sounds so amazing.
You're into some stupid shit, too. Don't even fucking sit here and judge my life choices, Loki.
I just... Okay.
You're such a dick.
I just don't get it.
All right, call in and tell Loki he's a dick. 1-877-GAME-OLR. Or our username on Skype is Orange Lounge Radio if you want to give us a call. We can talk about Ingress, or we can talk about anything else. We can talk about any of the other stories we've talked about on the show so far tonight. Or perhaps we missed something that you want to talk about. We can do all that right now on our Skype line, 1-877-GAME-OLR. Or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. That's all one word. Loki, I don't know if you have any last-minute stories.
I was just going to say that it looks like they've decided to ban some of the costumes from Dead or Alive 5 for fighting game tournaments because they're too risque.
Mm. We do have a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Hey, Act Deft, how you doing?
Hey, pretty fine, despite the rain.
Oh, is it raining where you are?
Yeah, that's pretty much all day.
It was supposed to rain here, but it kind of didn't for whatever reason. It's a little bit disappointing. So hold on, I have to show Loki something. Okay, Loki, see? There's my Ingress scanner. And see, right now, some jerk Smurf drew a field over the house. I didn't even talk about that. You link portals together, and the goal is to draw triangles or field, and the more population that you control in the field is basically like how the scoring works. So some jerk Smurf drew a field right over the house, so you can see we're sitting in a yucky pool of potty water right now, which is the blue there. But over here, this is some of the stuff that Alan and I did over here at the park. We made a little green field. Cute, huh?
Yes.
I'm not even getting paid by Google to pimp this shit. See if I do this anymore. We're not talking about Ingress.
I was into Ingress once, and I played it a little, but I can easily see Loki getting into it.
No.
Like, really.
Unfortunately, you're wrong. I can't get into it because my phone wouldn't probably reveal
it. It does murder your battery.
No,
my phone
it's
is
really
a piece
simple,
of shit.
So.
I mean, like today,
it
locked up
my
older phone
to that
shut
was
off.
A 2.3 Gingerbread. So, any phone can run it.
You know what? Loki would probably sign up for Ingress, and he would do the exact same dick thing that Shane did, and that is sign up for the blue team because he knows I'm on the green team. He'd be like, oh, you told me that the blue guys are the winners in this town? I'm signing up with them. Fuck y'all. All right, anyway. Sorry, Act Deft. I didn't mean to derail, but
no,
that happens.
No, I would not do that because that's – it's – no, it's just –
All right. I know. All right, anyway. what did you want to talk about, Act Deft?
Well, there are a lot of things to talk about. There's the Amiibo thing. There's also the there was another thing I wanted to talk about, but mostly the one of the forum threads you read about at the beginning of Part B, the Metacritic thing.
Yes, about the topic that Flacco had started about what game did you love that all the critics were like, eh.
Yeah, basically, and it's not necessarily that I have some games that critics bashed and I love. It's more like the general public that they go for a score, basically. And it's if it's not above 80, they'll pretty much dismiss it. And it's really, really sad, especially when sites go, when they rate their games from 1 to 10. No, it's a 70 should be a good game, not even a decent level. It should be a good game.
You know what? I actually I really agree with you on this, and this is why you're actually seeing a lot of pushback on a lot of these review sites. And now you have, you know, Joystick before they closed came out and said we're not going to do scores anymore because we don't want to contribute to that kind of culture. Essentially, I mean, their explanation was a lot longer, but Eurogamer, which is historically been very harsh in a lot of their game reviews and goes against the grain a lot of the times, they have now removed scores from their reviews as well. And so you see a lot of sites that kind of don't want to be associated with that Metacritic culture and that number. It's just a number at the end of the day, right? We at VOG Network, we decided to go with letter grades because we felt it spoke a language where C meant average. Middle of the pack meant average, right? Whereas what you're saying is absolutely right and why we didn't go with a number system at VOG. 5 out of 10, people aren't going to see that as average. They're going to see it as bad. So we wanted a system where the middle was average. So that's why we ultimately went with letter grades over at VOG Network. But then Metacritic... for example, I gave Pokemon Shuffle, which I reviewed this week at VogNetwork.com, I gave that a C-. I believe Metacritic would just turn that into a 70 for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm kind of like, well, wait a minute. A C's really a 50, but because you know what I mean? It's like it's not read that way. So it's just it's weird.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. And especially speaking of Pokemon Shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave a review of response for it also.
I noticed that.
And I pretty much agreed on most of it, but it's not a bad game. It has its flaws, and it's not definitely a great game to play, but it's good. It's a great pastime to pass the time. But
and that's where I was kind of at with it, is that I have my big-time problems with it, but you know what? For the time that you can play it free, it's a cute little time waster. So I kind of placed it near the middle of the pack, because that's how I felt about it, you know?
And yeah, the grade it was given by you and by me also.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much an average score, so it's around the middle. It's not that bad, it's not great, but it's decent, definitely. And there are a lot of games like that. They're not bad. I consider a bad game a game that it's not playable, that it makes that it's difficult and you cannot progress,
mm-hmm.
basically. So I those are the things I consider for a bad game, a really bad game.
Yeah.
There are bad games in the sense that okay, that it has its bugs, it has things that pretty much do interfere with the game.
Right.
I can give the example of Assassin's Creed Unity.
Mm.
That it came flawed, but the game was at least somewhat playable, and it probably was good for the most of it.
One other thing I wanted to say about Metacritic is that I notice a lot of publishers tie bonuses to Metacritic scores. We've heard about that happening in the industry, and I think that's kind of, I mean, exactly what you're talking about, where it's 80 is that hard line where it's that could be the difference between you get a Christmas bonus and you don't get a Christmas bonus, and that's so sketchy to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a big problem in with all the industry that, yeah, you have to pretty much do that to progress.
Yeah.
And, well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, any other thoughts on your mind before we let you go tonight?
Another thought.
Yeah.
Amiibos are good.
Well, let me ask you quickly, if you can summarize quickly, what drives you to collect Amiibos? What are Loki and I missing from this Amiibo craze?
I could really try to explain it, but I collect them because I like them. They look great. Despite the not so great functionality they have outside Smash Brothers, I still like to collect them. They're pretty cool figurines. But if you don't, in my perspective, I'm a big collector. I have talked about my collection of like Pokemon, my Final Fantasy stuff, my music, and all that stuff. But that's because I am a collector. If you're not a collector, you probably won't get it. So that's pretty much it. I'm collecting because for the sake of collecting. There are even people that don't take the Amiibo out of the box. They collect them. They have all the 29 Amiibos so far that have been released, and all in the box. They do not use them, so
all right.
It's pretty much for the sake of collecting, and I'm pretty much on that boat too.
Fair enough. Well, I'm gonna let you go, Act F, because our phones are like lighting up on fire, so I gotta get to another call. But take care, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. Take care. We have a lot of calls coming in tonight, so let me try to get to another one here right now. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
I'm calling to defend myself.
Hi, Shane. Welcome to the show. Were your ears burning?
No, I heard you slander me, so I had to call in.
What did I say in particular? I mean, I slander you a lot, so what was it in particular that you took offense to?
That I joined the blue team on that dumb game because you joined the green. First of all, you know me, and everybody else does. It's blue. That is what I'm going to pick. Secondly, it's just a bonus that it screws you over.
But you didn't even might I point out, I didn't even know that you downloaded Ingress until I was driving by like one of the local portals one day, and I was like, wait a minute, Shane Alenko's on this portal as the enemy. That little bastard.
Pretty much, but the game is crappy anyway. Like, it is really dumb and not fun, so.
So you're on Team Loki with that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. That is just, like, a really stupid game.
You're both wrong, but that's every gamer has a voice, even when they're wrong.
It's fine, you know what? And I'm not one to judge since I haven't played it, but based on not playing it, I think it looks really dumb.
Maybe it'd be more fun if when you did the hacking stuff, you went beep, boop, bop, beep. That's the only way I could see it being more fun.
I will do that sometime. Or maybe if it worked with a Power Rangers toy or something.
Oh, yeah, then I'd be all for it.
What if it was just called Power Ranger Portal Game?
I would play the crap out
see?
Of it. Very easy to, like, you know, get my attention grabbed by something stupid, and then that's all I'll focus on.
All right, well, there you have it. You've defended yourself here on the show. Was there anything else that we've talked about that you wanted to, that you took issue with?
Oh, tonight? I wasn't listening that much that I could comment on anything else that you talked about. Sorry, I'm playing Final Fantasy right now, too. I wanted to give a shout-out to that crappy, that's actually a good dating sim, though, that any person should play if they, I guess, have the money to buy it, or just randomly download it at some point and find it on their computer like I did.
And what game is that?
That's coming out on top. It's a dating sim that's kind of porny, but come on, if you have a computer, you've seen porn, so it's not that big a deal. And actually, I think it kind of detracts from the game, but it's really, like, funny and well-written. And it was written by a woman, and it's all about gay guys. So that was interesting to me.
What kind of sets it apart from maybe other, I don't know if you've played a lot of dating sims.
I've never, except I heard people kind of consider Persona one, but I don't see that, maybe because I didn't date anybody in Persona 4, but I don't know, it doesn't have pigeons or whatever, so it's not like that other dating sim.
But
I liked it.
What is it about, like, it just has good gameplay, or the story, is this the writing, the story?
I think the writing, because it's just, like, point and click, and choose this choice, and manage your event calendar type thing. I just thought it was pretty funny. Like, I didn't know that those games would be funny. Well, I thought they were, like, super serious, and people would, like, I don't know, fantasize about the characters and make pillows out of them or something. Maybe they do. I don't know.
I think they do. This game, I think, has a bit of a fan following. I think it was all through a Kickstarter campaign. I want to say I remember when it was a Kickstarter campaign.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I know it's getting DLC, which is weird, but people should play it if they have an interest in that sort of stuff, I guess.
People want more of a variety in what porny scenes they can end up in.
Well, that's the weird part of the game. Like, I don't necessarily condone that part. It's very awkwardly placed sometimes. Like, oh, you had a crush on this guy forever and he liked you too. Now he's tied up to a bed and you have to pick how you're going to have sex with him. It's like you could ride him, or you could be inside him, or you can make him give you a blowjob, or you can give him
okay,
a
blowjob. Shane, I think we've heard enough about
this
game.
Then you don't have to finish. You can pick the other options. You can choose to finish, or go back to the other ones that you didn't pick yet and go through those ones, too.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I've heard plenty enough about this game, and I will certainly
have
check
you?
It out.
Have you? Because there's more. It's like 5 minutes in, you can do Bukake.
You know what? Look at the time. We got to let you go, and our phone lines are lighting up. But have a good one, Shane.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right.
That went dark pretty fit.
He just wanted to dirty up the show. All right, well, we got another person on the line, so let's get to it. Like Rama says in the chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Welp!
Okay.
Accurate, right? All right. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up? This is Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo, what's on your mind?
Not much. First, before I get into it, I just wanted to recommend two games for you.
Yeah.
But before I get into that, I just wanted to say that I'm also an Amiibo collector, but not because they look great. I actually don't think they're a good-looking, whatever you want to call them, action figure, toy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I have Kirby. There's some little distortion in the back. It kind of looks like you know, when you were a kid and you put the quarter into the machine and you get those little eggs that you got to twist off and pop them open to get the prize.
Yeah.
That's what Kirby looks like. Is it really cheaply made? You know, everybody knows about how every character that has a sword, the sword is all bent up and screwed up. And a lot of them don't have a lot of really great detail in them. That's why they're $12.99. You know, but I basically collect them because I play Smash Brothers, and I get a lot of fun out of my Amiibo with Smash Brothers. I don't know what they're going to do later. I'm not really into just putting my Amiibo onto my controller just so I could get an outfit or something like that. I think that's stupid. But as far as what they do for Smash Brothers, it's a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that when Mario Party comes out, they're going to do something similar to what they do with Smash Brothers. Maybe not train them, but I know one of the big problems for people with Mario Party is Mario Party was never online, right? I never played any of the Mario Party games, but they're not online connected, right?
I don't think so. No. I'm not really having to rack my brain here.
No.
Yeah, I think the main problem was, you know, it's a Mario Party, so, you know, it's one of those games where, you know, it depends on a group of people playing, and I think a lot of people, since, you know, they don't have a lot of people over because, you know, not everyone's into video games, it's really hard to get you know, your friends into video games. I think that's one of the main reasons why people kind of maybe didn't buy the game or kind of hesitated on buying the game, just for the simple fact that they didn't have that party over at their house. So maybe these Amiibos are going to replace that, and you actually have like some decent AI to play with when you play Mario Party.
I understood the Amiibos unlocked a special mode in Mario Party that you can only get like if you have the Amiibo. So that's what people are, I guess, at least probably going to get that bundle that has Mario in it for. So,
and the gold Mario, there's a gold Mario in Mario Golf. So that's where the gold guy came from. But anyway, I wanted to recommend. I can't believe I'm recommending this because I don't really like app games. I don't like the pay to play type games. I don't like platformers. This game has everything in it that I hate, but for some reason I love it, and that game is King of Thieves. I think it's only exclusive to the Android devices right now.
Okay,
but it's a lot of fun. Like it's a combination of Super Meat Boy meets. You remember that game N+? You ever played that?
Yeah.
It has a little bit of N+ in it. Some tower defense. It's really cool. Like you start out as like this little thief character, and you have to infiltrate dungeons to steal people's gold, and the people's gold that you're stealing are actually real players who are also playing the game, and they can also break into your dungeon and steal your gold. That's when you have to set up your traps. What's really cool about the game is the fact that you can't just, you know, you would think that if somebody has to set up a trap, they're going to set up like this impossible trap for you to get through. The game doesn't allow you to create that trap unless you're able to beat the dungeon yourself. So you actually have to beat your dungeon two times in a row before you're able to save it and allow someone else to play it, which I think is like one of the best features.
What's this called again?
King of Thieves.
It's
a lot of fun. It's made by the people that made Cut the Rope, but it's totally different from Cut the Rope because I can't stand Cut the Rope. But yeah, it's a totally different game from that. And I mean, there's so much more to it. But I know you only have a little bit of time, so I'm not going to get into all that. But just
I will
try
say
the game.
It is on iOS. I just grabbed it.
Yeah, it's great, man. And you can start guilds. Like when you get to a certain level, you can have like guilds, and you can have your friends help you to steal your shit back when somebody rips you off. Because like you know, a lot of people will start getting in your shit and like stealing everything, and then you got to get it back from them. It's a lot of fun. Second game is The Town of Salem. That's like a web browser game, and you were talking about The Resistance earlier. That's like one of my favorite card games, and I love the werewolf card game.
Yeah.
And Town of Salem is just like that. It's basically before we had werewolf is a game that's based off of another game called Mafia.
Yeah, I know Mafia. Yep.
Yeah, so The Town of Salem is basically Mafia. Like there's a Mafia team in the game. I think there's actually a werewolf at some point in the game, but I don't think I played with the rules set yet. But
wait, Mafia and werewolf combined?
Yeah. It's Mafia, Werewolf, the Salem Witch Trials, all that stuff combined into one game. There's a serial killer in there. It's just a lot of fun. It's like, you know, one of those social deduction games where you just have to find out who's going around killing everyone. And, you know, you get your special role. Like there's a spy role, a detective role, a doctor role. It's just a lot of fun. And it's a simpler web browser game. And I think the longest I ever played was like 15 minutes. So it's not one of those games that you really have to invest a lot of time in. And, you know, just a lot of fun. Two fun games, and they're completely free.
I will say The Resistance is a lot of fun, but since you've played it a lot, what's your strategy when you're a spy? How do you throw people off your trail?
Oh, I just pretty much what I try to do, I try to do all my damage when I'm the team captain. You know, I try to go for that, and then I start to try to put, you know, like you don't put your spy mates on the team right away. Like the first mission that you do, like when if you ever become the team leader, you send all the good people on the mission.
Yeah.
Let them succeed, and then they're going to trust you. And then by the next time you get around, or if they get around to somebody else on your team, that person will like select you, and you know they'll trust you more, and they'll put you on the team, and that's when you can sabotage stuff.
You know how I won the first game is I got put on the very first mission, and I let it succeed. And I got put on the second mission as well because of that, and I let that succeed as well. And I could see the other spy was looking at me going, like, you just gave them two, and they only need three to win? And I was like, you know, I got this. Sure enough, they put me on every single other mission in the game, and I failed them all.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That game's a lot of fun. It's also, you mentioned Werewolf, but to me it's more of like a streamlined version of the Battlestar Galactic game. You got to try that. I mean, that's a heavy-duty board game, but if you ever meet anyone that has that game, you got to try. But, I mean, it literally takes like 2 hours to finish that game. But
long time.
Yeah, just fun stuff.
All right.
Board games are fun. Try them.
They are fun. Kaijudo, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show, but thanks for your call, buddy.
All right, no problem.
Take care. All right, I think that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I'm sorry, our phones were lighting up tonight, so I'm really sorry to those of you that didn't get through. Please consider leaving a message on our forums over at forums.vognetwork.com, or you can also send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Tweet at us, whatever you want to do to get a hold of us for a future show. We want to get as many of you on here as we can. Sadly, we can't always get you all on the phone. Loki, any other last-minute stories before we wrap up tonight?
No. All right. They have a really nice Humble Bundle right now.
Yeah, I noticed that. There's the Square Enix one still going, right? And then they have like the Japanese centric like companies making one, right? There's like their weekly bundle, right?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't checked that yet.
Oh, you didn't? Ooh. Yeah, look at the weekly bundle. It's pretty good. Uh-oh. The Steam problem is just going to get worse now.
Oh, well, look at the tail. Yeah.
All right. Yep. You're welcome. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Some charity's getting more money thanks to Loki. hey, it's the least I can do for all that shit you gave one of my favorite games earlier in the show. All right. That all being said, it is time to wrap up another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to our show tonight and staying with us for the whole 3+ hours of it. You guys, you know, we talked about like money and giving stuff to the show earlier. You guys are really the reason, the motivation we keep doing this. All we ask, tell a friend or two about the show. Help spread the word about Orange Lounge Radio because, you know, we've been around for like 13 years and not a lot of people know about us, which, you know, we're very happy with the small family we have because when you get too big, that's when, like, the real dickheads show up. So we want more cool people like you that are all here listening to us. So tell your friends about the show. But if you can't do that, leave a nice 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. All that stuff goes an awful long way in helping, and we really appreciate those of you that do that and help the show out every week. Again, we will not be here next week as I will be at PAX East. If you happen to be at PAX East as well, maybe you're listening to this as you're traveling on the way there, please say hi. Come up. Say hello at the show. I promise I won't bite unless you're the resistance. Then I will bite. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'll shake your hand anyway. I hope you all that are going to PAX have a great time. I hope you guys going to GDC have a fantastic time. That is also this week as well. So I'm sure there's going to be lots of news to talk about in 2 weeks when we are back on March 15th. Time to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Dark Soccer's already left. We talked to her earlier. Loki, it's your turn. What's your final thought for the night?
Work more on my game this week. I know last week I meant to get some levels done, but I've been mainly working on, because one of the things I hated was that the curbs are hard to get up on that game because the car is really small. So I've been putting these, what I'm calling curb ramps in the game. So now everything, all the curbs are kind of have a 45 degree slope on it. So you just drive right into them and it goes, it makes it a lot more fun. So that's what I've been working on. I'm just about done with it. I have them all in the game, except that the model two more that are for some really like, unique pieces. And then I had to figure out what level two is going to be. I've been trying to come up with some ideas, but I have a bunch of ideas that aren't good for level two, but for later on, it's just, I had to get the right one that's the least amount of crazy before I get into the crazy stuff. So, it's just hard picking one that's simple enough for the first real stage that you play.
All right. And my final thought for the night is SSJ 100 Matt reminded me of this, so I'll say this is my final thought. There is a PAX East thread on our forums. So if you want to try to meet up with us, post in the thread and that you're going. That's over at forums.vognetwork.com if you want to meet up at PAX East. So I look forward to the show and having a good time there and meeting some of you. Have a great week, everybody. Be safe if you are traveling this week, and have a wonderful 2 weeks. We'll see you back in 2 weeks to do it all over again here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.